this week, we're reminded that the larger sums of money don't prevent problems from happening. The MMO New Earth has been delayed from this autumn until next spring, at least. Amazon Gaming has now encountered at least two setbacks for New Earth, one for unforeseeable reasons, along with the critically muted reaction to its hero arena shooter, Crucible. No success is guaranteed, but that shouldn't stop you from trying, much like our hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, who continue to press on with the show where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live yet again tonight with another week of our show. It is episode number 827 for this July 12th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you live here from our recording studio that we used to do for many years. We would meet live in person here in this studio, but due to the current state of the world, we're separated a little bit and saying hello through the magic of Discord. Joining me, Rob, here in studio is Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Greetings and salivations.
Welcome back. I missed you last week.
What'd you throw?
I was going to say my aim is steadily improving. I'm trying, but yeah. So I hope you're doing well. Hanging in there?
I'm doing all right. I'm definitely better than last week.
Good.
There's just some stuff going on. We've all got stuff.
I understand. As I was saying to somebody the other day, it's been a hell of a year today.
I'll go ahead and be honest with it. My mom is sick with COVID symptoms, and she got tested on Thursday last week, and we don't find out for a few more days. So, kind of fun coming 2 months after my dad dies. So, of course, I've been worried and stressed out. But mom is full of spite as ever. So,
it's where you get it.
Girl.
In all seriousness,
I expanded on that.
In all seriousness, obviously, fingers and toes crossed and just hoping for all the best with your mom. And, if it is that, then hopefully the symptoms don't get any worse.
I can cross all that, but if I cross my eyes, I'll get stuck that way. Mama said so.
All right. Well, we can actually see, thanks to the magic of Discord, if his eyes are stuck, say hello
I
to Tech.
Makeup.
Your face is beat very well tonight, Dar Sakra. Too bad the...
doing that daytime drag.
Your eyes look great. Too bad the podcasties can't appreciate it, but that's all right.
Oops.
More incentive to tune in live every Sunday night at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, where we tape right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And, of course, you can join us in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork if you want to chat along with the show. I'll say hello to you guys in a minute, but I have to say hello to Techmaster Loki, also on Discord.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. I'm excited to talk about your background video, but obviously we have a little ways in the show to get to before we can. I'm sure some folks recognize what it is.
I always pick something that's appropriate for, unless I can't think of anything appropriate to what we're talking about.
Fair enough. I have to decide because, I've mentioned this on the show before. It's inevitable that the studio is going to change again at some point. And obviously, someday, fingers and toes crossed, I'd love for us all to be back in person. But I'm kind of wondering if maybe in the new studio, I won't just have a giant green screen in the background so we can just, put in whatever we want, which I think would be fun.
Yeah,
it would be like those old clips from the 90s of Conan O'Brien taking the desk out for a drive. I don't know if you remember those segments from the.
Yes, I remember that.
Might be dating a little bit. I don't know. All right. Let's get into some of the news, gaming news. For our kickoff topic tonight, we've had some very big press conferences. I don't know if you'd call them press conferences. They were more like
directs, I guess.
Yeah, direct updates to the peoples from two companies this week. We had Ubisoft, Devolver Digital, and Loki. Tell us a little bit about what we learned about.
So if you haven't watched the Devolver Digital Direct or show or presentation in the last few years, you're really missing out. They are unique, to say the least, and there's this ongoing storyline that goes from each one. It's just bonkers. But they did show a few different games that are going to be coming out pretty soon. So Shadow Warrior 3 was one that looked pretty awesome. Kind of resembling more like the new Doom Eternal games versus the old Shadow Warrior stuff. A game called Fall Guys. It looks pretty fun. Carry On, which I swear was already out, but I think that now maybe it's coming out the consoles. And this one game, I guess, is called Allegia, and that looked pretty cool. And then, of course, more footage of Serious Sam 4, which had been talked about before. But the thing that's in my background, and another thing that they announced as well, was this Devolverland Expo. And what it is, it's a free game you can get on Steam, and it's a game, and it's also a bunch of their trailers and stuff like that. And so it's just this, it's a perfect Devolver Digital thing that you really should go check out. It's a pretty decent game, so go check it out. It's like breaking into the E3 Expo. I mean, they've modeled it after the Los Angeles Expo Center there. So,
Interestingly enough, Loki, I don't always like get the hype around the Devolver stuff. Like I get that it's cute and it's funny and so forth. But I thought that this expo thing that they put out, the Devolverland Expo, or what is that the official name of it? Devolverland Expo? I don't know.
That's the name of the game.
I feel like it's really clever and very unexpected. And I downloaded it and I've actually played a little bit of it. Like, and I was really kind of blown away uncannily how it is the Los Angeles Convention Center, no doubt. Like, when you start, you're walking right into, and like, I remember, it's been a few years now, but I remember going through those doors. Now, obviously, things didn't look so like dreary and Bioshocky like they do in that particular demo. But you know, you go through the doors and it's like, oh, I remember this lobby. And I just instinctively was like, well, registration was over here. And you go around to the left and there's a place where you get like a T-shirt gun. And that's what, spoiler alert, that's what you can use against some of the sentries that are in there and so forth. So it was an interesting little like, and once you finally get into the South Hall, then it's like, okay, this is a little different. Like, it would never have been this crazy in here. But yeah, it was neat. I think that is a very clever little thing, and it actually had me doing some exploring. I watched one of the trailers for that Carrion. What is that? Is that the name?
Yeah,
what's
Carrion.
The name where you play the? Yeah, okay. So I was watching that, and you collect these little pieces, and I guess you can get unannounced game trailers too. So you can actually get like bonus stuff. Although I was told if you just go into your Steam library and actually go to where the application is, all the videos are right there. So you can just spoiler alert yourself if you want. It's fun.
Well, the other thing too, like which folks didn't notice right away, but the trailer for the actual game, Devolverland Expo, had Steam keys hidden in it for some of the games that were in there. So it was kind of neat. I was going to say though, one of the other... one of the things, yeah, about that, it's just bonkers. You really need to check out the whole direct, if you will. I mean, it's poking fun, obviously, that all the directs, and they tout the game as it's a first-person marketing simulator, which it's kind of silly. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So aside from Devolver Digital, the other thing that happened earlier today was Ubisoft. So Ubisoft had their kind of Ubisoft Forward event that showed some more footage of some of these games that have already been announced. So we had more footage for the Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We had a pretty lengthy thing for Watch Dogs Legions, which looks interesting. There was... more stuff for, I think they were talking a little bit about Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I'm surprised we still haven't seen anything for the I don't remember the series now. Anyways, there was Elite Squad that they were showing off, which is kind of a weird stylized version of, I guess, the Tom Clancy universe, which I gotta be honest, looks a whole hell of a lot like Agents of Mayhem, and not in a good way. There's Hyperscape, which is their Battle Royale game, which I think is already out now. They showed a little bit of Brawlhalla getting... crossplay and stuff?
I think Hyperscape is in like a open beta now, because it was open already beta, in like a get an invite on Twitch by watching streams sort of thing. And I don't usually super get into a lot of the Battle Royale games just because there's a lot of toxic communities out there with Battle Royale games. Mm-hmm. But with I'm curious a little bit about Hyperscape, because it's kind of like it's got a little bit of that crazy Crackdown bit to it, because like there's anti-gravity and you can like jump super high and like silly things.
Yeah, it looks interesting. And then they finished off with a trailer for Far Cry 6, which that announcement was leaked earlier when it showed up on some of the online storefronts. And then, of course, there's speculation that the kid in this game is a child version of Voss, who was in Far Cry 3. His name's Diego in this game, but I mean, maybe he changes his name. Who knows? But it looks interesting. It's supposed to take place in like a Cuba or something like that. So pretty cool.
So not really a lot of big surprises, though, if I'm not mistaken, though, right? Like we knew about Assassin's Creed. We knew, I mean, Far Cry 6, I guess, is a surprise, but is it? You know?
No, I mean, it's not. But like it looks interesting. I was going to say that we didn't see any Beyond Good and Evil 2. But they did promise, much like Microsoft did, I'm not sure about EA, that there's going to be yet another Ubisoft Forward later on in the summer, and they're going to show off more of that stuff around then. So we may see some more of that stuff poke up there. But, I mean, it's neat. Like, Watch Dogs Legions, like, it's a game that I'm interested in, but, like, at the same time, I know how I am with games, and, like, Watch Dogs 2 I was pretty excited for, and I played it for a few hours, and then went on to something else, and I'm worried that that's going to be the same thing happening here, but it looks cool. I mean, so I'll give them that.
Let's get some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Questbuster says, Far Cry 6 is going to be interesting. Another open world sandbox. Yay. I love my open world sandbox games. There's a lot of people that do, and there's some people that you kind of get annoyed with it, but that's okay. Different games. I mean, there's literally like a million games to play online, so pick what works for you. Dark Tetsuya says, Far Cry 6 leaked on PSN, I heard. I believe, yes, I heard that same rumor or what have you, that one of the overseas stores put the artwork up early. Probably one of those things where it was probably dated for tomorrow, but because tomorrow in Asia is today, if that makes an international dateline play there, it may have triggered early or something like that. I don't know. I'm just theorizing. I don't know if they really explained why it happened, but that's just a theory. And let's see. Phoenix7726 says, I keep wondering when we're going to get a modern Assassin's Creed, and the answer is likely never. Well, I mean, on one hand, it seems a little bit out of character for Assassin's Creed, but on the other, I mean, would like an Assassin's Creed in the future be something like, I don't know, I think like a Matrix-y style thing? Is that something that could ever happen? Or is that just Watch Dogs?
Well, the whole Assassin's Creed thing, I think, is supposed to have some, I don't know the entire storyline for Assassin's Creed, but I know that there is a future element to it, because you're exploring memories of like one of the descendants of all these assassins, and that's how you're kind of replaying all this stuff. And there is like a modern day story part to it that's going from game to game. But like I said, I never really got past Assassin's Creed 1 as far as holding my attention. So I don't know what the storyline is. And I know they made a really terrible movie that's based on Assassin's Creed that we all like to forget about, but it's out there. So I don't know. I don't know what exactly the storyline is, but I do know that there is something that does take place like in the future. I don't know what it's building up to, but right now it's just an excuse to be able to go to different timelines and do all this stuff.
Yeah, and Questbuster's kind of filling in on that too. Ass Creed has a modern component that briefly explores that side of the narrative, but it feels mostly like an appendage at this point. And that's kind of what I like, because I remember playing, I've played the games a little bit, and I remember it, like, especially in the early games, they like remastered the early games, and I think that's the one I played. And I remember it kind of like explains it a little bit, but it's very much like a, this is not the point of the game. Like, well, maybe it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of one of those things, you're in it for like 30 seconds, then you're not really thinking about that part anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. And then also VG Realness in chat says Watch Dogs fills the void of future Assassin's Creed. Yeah, I suppose. And I guess maybe like your modern Assassin's Creed as well. Like Assassin's Creed is one of those things I think is always going to be a little bit historical, especially when we've seen these modes like in the recent one was Odyssey had that whole little like history adventure mode. Right. And there was the one before it had it, too. Right. Where it's like this isn't really the game, but you can explore and actually learn about history because we went so far as to render all these, you know, historical things. Why not put this in here as like a learning thing too? And I imagine this new one's going to have something like that too, just because
I guess, yeah. I mean, I want to say though, like, I don't remember which game it was, but I thought that there was one of the games that they had that you were, they wanted like, they were touting its historic accuracy. And then they had you fighting like Greek gods or something like that. I don't want to say it's like something ridiculous like that, but I think that was, I don't remember which one Assassin's Creed that was, but like I said, not a franchise I'm into, but it looks cool. And I don't know, Watch Dogs more my cup of tea, but, and Far Cry. Although once again, Far Cry, I played a little bit of 5 and never finished it.
But most importantly, and I'll admit, I missed the thing because I've been dealing with some other personal stuff this weekend. But was there a new trailer for a new Just Dance?
Not that I saw. I missed about a minute of it. And so they did not have Just Dance.
Well, that's upsetting.
We don't have enough time for all of the nonsense that they would pull off for that. So no Just Dance this time. Maybe they'll kick off the next one. But yeah, I mean, it's all right.
I think there's a like, random aside, but I think there's a huge sale on PlayStation. Well, it seems like they always have some type of sale going on. Like, they're just rotating them in week after week right now.
Well, they were giving away Watch Dogs 2 on PC for free. I couldn't log into my Ubisoft account. Surprise.
Oh,
surprise.
No.
They are, like, I remember my password and everything, but I tried resetting it because for whatever reason, it wasn't working, and I never got an email to reset it. So. Well, I was locked out.
I was going to say with the PlayStation sale, the latest Just Dance, like 2020, is down to like $15 or something like that. And I was tempted. I'll tell you, I was tempted to pick it up. I have no idea how those games control anymore. Like, do they use the camera? Do they use the controller? I heard there's, I think maybe an iPhone app.
I think it's the phone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's your phone now. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they use the camera anymore.
Oh, Bobby Blackwolf confirms they use your mobile phone, which makes sense because mobile phones are like the universal controller these days. You know, don't you guys have phones?
I just want to bust out DDR. I'll be honest.
It works for Jackbox. I would love a modern like DDR game, like DDR Ace or something on PlayStation 4 or 5. I'd live for that. I would be
That'd
so
be
happy.
Sick.
I don't know why they won't do it. Like, Konami just doesn't see the money in it or something. Like, I would be so thrilled.
They wouldn't make money off of it. It's very niche for them.
Yeah, they're going to make Apache slot.
I wish they would just release a PC version since the software runs on PC anyways. It wouldn't be that difficult. I mean, I know it's not difficult to port it because if you know where to look, you can get it to run on your PC. So I don't understand why they don't do something like that and have songs available, or I don't know. I mean, I guess they're trying to do that with that. What was the one S, or I don't remember the one that they had online recently that was running Unity that we tried. It.
Oh, like yeah. It was real quick.
So
yeah.
Maybe
that just means I need to bust out the Dreamcast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
You have to stick to the oldies. I guess this is what it is. I guess maybe they feel dance games have to have these camera and full body motion things because we've kind of lived through the era of Kinect and things like Dance Central and that now that like maybe a dance pad alone isn't good enough. Quote, I'm using my quoting fingers, good enough. When I don't know, like I feel like DDR, there are all these new kids playing DDR at the arcade now, and I don't recognize them. There's a whole new DDR community, even though like DDR Freak isn't really around anymore, but they're forming around things like Facebook and Twitter and so forth. I believe there are music game podcasts that which is really ironic because that's where we started. But there's a whole new class. There's like a new class of like music gaming podcasts, and we don't follow that stuff as closely anymore. But the reason why I bring all that up is that I feel like there is a whole new fandom for those types of games. And I think, you know, if they were to just try to do a DDR on PlayStation 4 or 5, it would be not just something for the old fans like us, but the new fans as well. I really wish they'd give it a shot. But I can understand that there's a risk when it comes with, like, the peripherals. So maybe they need to focus on something that's a little more like a button music game, and then it's like, oh, but you can use the peripheral as
but
well.
Didn't they have all those peripherals that they had made for the – I mean, here's how silly, like, their priorities are. So, like, I understand that peripherals aren't necessarily high on their radar, but – at the same time, didn't they just have a whole bunch of peripherals for their mobile games? I mean, like, can we repurpose some of that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Anyway, I didn't mean to go on a dance game tangent by talking about Just Dance, but maybe I did a little bit. I don't know. So.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people who are happy about Just Dance stuff because, I mean, oh, sure. Especially with this going on with the pandemic, it's a good way to get some exercise. I mean, honestly, an announcement about Just Dance is timely.
Actually, that's part of the reason when I saw the sale, I honestly considered getting it. And I still might, because I think the sale is on through Thursday or what have you. And
I'm considering it.
It's exactly for that. I've been trying very hard to go outside and get exercise and go walking. But the reality is, it was 105 today here in Sac. And so I'm like,
yeah, I went out in it for 10 minutes.
Yikes.
And then thank you. How hot it is in my garage in order to play DDR. So it's like 120 degrees in there.
In the words of the great Jasmine Masters, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Although I hurt my hip a few weeks ago and re-sprained it tripping over the cat. Going outside in the weather for just a little bit makes me understand why old people move to Arizona. I was like, oh, it doesn't hurt for 5 seconds. Oh, it's hot. Meh.
So. Pele Hanumea in chat brings up Beat Saber and says Beat Saber type games are replacing them. I mean, I think there's always going to be like that fresh new thing in any type of genre. And music games are not immune to that either, because like there was DDR and then there was Guitar Hero, right? And Rock Band, the plastic instruments, really dominated that conversation for a long time. And you're right. You're right. A lot of the VR and music is Beat Saber is very strong in that department too. And I think because of Beat Saber's success, you're even seeing non-VR things that are trying to do the Beat Saber thing, even though Beat Saber is meant... Oh, well, anyway, that's another discussion. But I can kind of see that every genre kind of has its, you know, this is the hot new thing in the genre right now. So even when we were, even when we were young kids right around the time this show started, I feel like, you know, we were all playing DDR. And then one day, Darkstalker, because this was like the day that you and I met, one day, Milpitas Golfland got a Para Para Paradise.
Yes.
And we only knew
half the routines.
We had to go see it because it was like, but it's DDR, but it's like you're using your hands. It's a new thing. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah, exactly. It's new. Anyway. All right. Well.
Now we have the pink biscuits of doom collecting dust somewhere.
Oh, and not the knockoff green biscuits of doom that I think was the other game they put out on Dreamcast, some other company.
Green biscuits, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, all right.
I also remember you having a bunch of weird stuff on Dreamcast, so.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so that's that for Ubisoft and Devolver, even though it devolved into conversation on old school music games. But hey, that's our audience, right? And by the way, Darkstalker, since I have to say it at some point, while Loki was trying to be serious and read the news there, thank you, Loki, you're in the background changing wigs. And playing with our chat room and making all these faces. You keep doing like these whole little like,
I'm moving on to wig number three because this one is my wigs have been disused because I'm not doing any cons or anything. Uh-huh. So, and you know, I'm not like going all out and wearing a wig cap and doing it right and all that. I'm not pinning it or anything. I'm just throwing on the wig. Like this one, I still have yet to trim the lace on it just because this one's going to be some work. She's some work.
I don't have wigs. I just have hats.
Yes, God.
All right. Anyway, also some stuff in chat talking about Drop Mix a little bit. Bobby saying, I enjoyed Drop Mix, and Fuser is basically a digital version of Drop Mix.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, their other game that they have coming out.
Yeah, Miltonius Games in chat says, yeah, I like the music mixing of Drop Mix, so just being able to do that without physical cards sounds good. Yeah, I think there was fun just in, like, mixing stuff on that game. So I'm excited. Is Fuser out? I didn't think it was out yet, right? I think
no,
it's out.
Not yet.
Yeah, out soonish in the next couple months. So I'll check that out, though, because I do have a Drop Mix thing, but I've played it, like, twice, I think. It'll be fun to try the digital one, I think. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week in a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played something that was an Animal Crossing.
What?
Although Wig! I did play a lot of Animal Crossing.
Okay.
But I want to start off with my little rant about Animal Crossing, okay?
Okay.
So we get to go swimming in the ocean. We can dive. We can get pearls. You know, I'm not going to go there.
Or can we? Because I haven't gotten one yet.
I have three.
Wow.
And one of them I got on my alt. And you get Pascal, and that was fun. I found out that if you talk to him, like, at the top of, above your island, you can actually watch him swim off into the distance and watch him eat the scallop that he begged you for.
Oh, I've seen him, like, go off, but I've never seen him actually eat the scallop. That's cute.
I tried to get some shots of it earlier, but it didn't quite work out. And this is a big Sir Mix-a-Lot size sitting on a butt. Okay? You can dive off the pier. And people are like, okay, that's pretty cool. But not people who do lots and lots of trading, where you have strangers come into your town who think they can run over your flowers and cut all your fruit and dig up your plant. Well, I mean, I guess they can't really dig up your plants if they're not besties. But it's like, a lot of people take a lot of pride in their little towns. I take pride in my little town, and my town is fucking adorable. Deal with it. But, like, you jump off, and you can't block people out of running amok all over your town, you know? Like, it's just not good, and I found a place to leave feedback for Nintendo, so I'm going to do it, but, like, this shit don't fly.
I've heard this complaint on Twitter and social media. Some people are not happy about how the diving off the pier kind of leads to that sort of exploit, which I think Nintendo probably, like, didn't think of because, I don't know.
Or they did it on purpose.
Maybe. Well,
it's getting in the way of our intended vision for how you play the game.
Well, and that was a point that came up when I was talking about it with my friends, is that, is this Nintendo trying to take a little jab at some of the, like, the fact that, you know, we're inviting so many people online, especially with the turnip game, right? Like, any of us that have had spiked turnips probably had strangers on our island to help sell the turnips, whether it was, like, friend of a friend or, you know, through a community or something. And maybe Nintendo's kind of trying to jab at that a little bit, where it's like, you know, we really just want you to have people that, like, you actually know on your island. But I at the same time, like, I'm kind of like, maybe that's Nintendo's perspective. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I think that's the fun of it is meeting people through this, I think.
I don't think they anticipated that it would be used in that manner, to be honest, because there's a lot of design decisions that they made in there that doesn't seem to make any sense. Like, for example, whoever plays the game first is the mayor of the town, basically, and gets to make all the decisions where everybody else doesn't really get to do that. And
I have no problem with that.
Well, I understand that, and that's what they probably thought. Well, most people are just going to play it by themselves. It's fine. But I have a family, and we all play on the Switch, and unfortunately, my youngest son is the one that played it first just by happenstance, and so now he has to make all the decisions, and it's really annoying.
Yikes.
And so, like, you know, we can't progress in the game because, like, he's got all of, you know, the decisions that need to be made, and he doesn't read
any of
that.
So it's like our current administration here in America.
Well,
a small child in charge.
Well, it's not as bad as that. You know, the worst thing we have going on is there's, like, waterfalls in some weird places now. But, you know, other than that, it's been all right.
Well, you can terraform too. You've got that power. So
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's true.
I'm crying inside. But at any rate, I wanted to address that. And I mean, I also wonder if this might be Nintendo's way to sort of get past the people who are selling things for money, you know, like selling, like charging, and then you pay like certain Nook Miles tickets or something, and it's ridiculous. And I, whatever, you know what? But there are people who are using it just to enhance their, you know, their enjoyment of the game, who want to sell their turnips and want to trade items and catalog. And I mean, but now, like, I was veering out a little bit. I was venturing. I was letting new people into town. And now, back on lockdown.
Nope.
The only people who can come visit me are my friends.
Fort Sakura is closed.
Well, and the other, well, Koholet's gone back to being a dream. Spoilers, but, you know, and there's a few people in my Facebook group that I would let in just because I've seen them be good players. I've gotten positive feedback on them, and I've had them in the town before. I think they would be trustworthy, but I don't really go outside of that group anymore, except for maybe a few coworkers, because we have an Animal Crossing group at my work.
You know, though, and you know this, Star Soccer, I kind of closed Facebook a couple weeks ago just because, for my own reasons, I'm just over Facebook. But one thing I do kind of miss are those groups, because I just had a villager move out 2 days ago. Gigi left, and I was okay with her going because she was a duplicate type. I already had a Snooty type. But, you know, I have, like, maybe, like, one messenger group that I can kind of send. Does anybody want Gigi? And, like, literally nobody had an empty plot that day anyway. So it was kind of pointless, and I was like, well, I guess to the abyss she goes, because I don't, like, on a normal day, I would have posted in your group.
She'll go into a pool, I think, for your last 10 visitors.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if someone gets an opening, there's a chance that she might show up at the campsite or on another island.
Hmm. Okay.
I believe that's how it works.
I have heard that villagers will move and say they're from another place if you don't recruit somebody. I recruited a normal type to replace her because that's the one thing I needed.
Yeah, I'm going to be, since I've got, I think, all of the DIYs from the villagers, that I'm going to, I don't have to have the different types now in my town, so I'm going to be, I already promised him to Gwen, but Gwen's going to get my Octavian when I bring in either Bruce or Marshall. I haven't decided.
Do you know who Alan let go this week, and I couldn't believe it?
Marina.
I couldn't believe. Oh yeah, that's right.
He still has
Facebook, so he probably. Oh yeah, I think he did give her away. I think somebody got her. So
yeah.
She didn't go
and
to
you
the
know,
void.
I was so close to trying. I didn't have an opening, but I would have loved to have claimed Marina, because I have the other two octopi.
Mm.
So I have Zucker and Octavian, and we're never getting rid of Zucker because he's my special child.
Yeah, I won't ever let Ketchup leave on my island
because
I love her too much.
I might let Julian go because I have his card.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes a queen needs to move, and Julian being my unicorn drag queen, sometimes she needs to just feel her oats.
How do you get – okay, so, like, I know if you work on your friendship and you give a lot of random gifts – I use the app to show, like, what gifts somebody really prefers. So I try to do that. And eventually Ketchup gave me a photo of herself. And I love that. And from what I understand, that's like the ultimate prize from a villager, right?
It
like
is.
if they give you a photo, that's it. You've done it. You've maxed everything out.
High five.
So now I'm trying to. OK, so I'm trying to get others. So I'm trying to get one from Poncho, who's my little jock bear. And I think he's adorable. Every day I give him a wrapped coconut, because I know if nothing else, you get a decent amount of points from a wrapped coconut, right?
You get a decent amount of points from your wrapped native fruit.
Oh, do you? Okay.
But my thing is that I like giving them clothes because I like to make them wear ridiculous stuff. I just make sure it's in their favorite color.
Mm, okay.
That's so for Agnes, she gets black and gray. For Dina, she gets to wear a lot of plaid green. You know, I put her in the flannels. I put her in sportswear because she's my lesbian. I put Rosie in reds and pinks. I put Julian in blues and purples. Right now he's wearing the vampire clothes and he loves the hell out of that. Roscoe gets mostly black and red, and it's all like punk kind of, you know, hardcore stuff. I put
it's kind of how Cherry. That's how Cherry likes to dress that way too. Cherry's like a Hot Topic worker.
I had Cherry in New Leaf. I like Cherry.
Gotcha.
But you know what's funny though? I have a lot of my OG, you know, my original people.
Cherry would wear that wig you're wearing.
Well, it's going to get changed after this segment, but, you know, I have actually a lot of my original characters, except I have Dom, and Dom is great. I love Dom. He's my little wannabe fluffball buff guy.
I will tell you my newest villager. So, you know, I went searching for a normal type, and I just took the first one I found. Are you ready for the name of the villager I got? I got Norma. Norma the normal. Norma the normal. She's a cow. She's cute. So, anyway, okay, and I think the internet just froze because I've completely lost the video connection, and I'm really worried that it's going to drop completely here in a moment because, this is really not good. So I think what I'm going to do is, I'm still on Twitch. It's just Discord that slowed down. Okay, so apparently I've completely lost connection on Discord with my co-hosts. So we're going to just see what happens here. Discord may have had a hiccup or something like that. Not sure. So, I would, Jamie's in a very stunning pose where she's frozen, isn't it? Anyway. Okay. So I guess I don't have a choice for the moment. What should I do? I'm going to turn it off and turn it off again, or turn it on and off again, off and on again. And see if that helps. So let's see what happens if I'm going to disconnect from that. And then I'm going to try to reconnect to that and see if I get my co-host back. And nope, I'm just getting the... Oh, I might have got him back.
Hey. Hello.
How about that? Turning it off and on again fixed it. What's that?
I didn't have time to change my wig.
Oh, that's okay. It was a little unexpected hiccup there, but that's the perils of doing a live show. Okay,
well,
sorry.
I was saying that you stole Dina the first time. Out of my GameCube village.
I did. Sorry, it was a little awkward hiccup. And I was talking about Norma the Normal, who's a cow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I was saying that since you stole Dina last time, you get first dibs on Dina this time.
Okay, yay. Now, anyway, you mentioned
game.
You played other stuff, yeah.
Yes, I got The Last of Us. I got the remastered one. I do want to play Last of Us 2. So I figured I should start at the beginning. That and a friend of mine has talked and talked and talked it up. So I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And I really enjoyed it. It's kind of, well, you know, I was having those problems with my hands. And I do have a little bit of that problem again with holding a PlayStation controller for too long. And the control scheme is one of those, every button does everything. The menus are weird. So it's a little bit of getting used to it. But yeah, I cried ugly in the first 10 minutes. So had myself a little silent sob. And I really like it so far. The remastered one looks really good. The voice acting is really good. And you know me, I'm picky on voice acting. So I'm really enjoying it so far. And then I'm still playing Words with Friends because I'm kind of addicted and you know I'm a word nerd. But there's like this mode in Words with Friends that like I really like. I think it's called like Word Circle, where you get like a set of letters and you have to make, you know, as many different words out of it. And they kind of are crossword style, right? And I like that because I don't know what it is. I guess that Words with Friends thinks that people doing that mode have no vocabulary because I'm like, you got a hidden word. You got a hidden word. You got a hidden word. I'm like, but I want the words of the puzzle, you know? And so I actually found a game that is the same thing. And like, it's got ads, so, but it's not as bad, but it must think that I'm, you know, a toddler because it's called Word Swipe. I kind of enjoy it. And I'm waiting to get more stuff in Patterned because I love Patterned and I'm very, very sad that there are no more puzzles for me to do. And I'm back to playing like the Mahjong puzzle games too because I can do it mindlessly while I'm doing other things. Oh, and new acquisition, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, which I know we're going to discuss in a bit. Dan is on it. He loves it. I love Zangetsu. I love how completely off like the other Bloodstained game that this is. It's like every one of these Curse of the Moon ones, both of these are like two different universes almost just with the same characters, kind of AU shenanigans. But it's really cool. The music's great. Dan seems to really enjoy it. I have other games to play, and Dan is taking it over. And sometimes it's really hard to play some games when we also have our more recent acquisition in pinball in the other room, which is AC/DC, one of the limited editions. And we are borrowing Guardians of the Galaxy right now. So it's kind of annoying because I catch myself singing along with like the soundtrack as we're going along. And to the point where I've got Stuck on a Feeling on my head and repeat, and I sing it to the cat. Just saying. So that's my gaming week.
All right, nice. I will be very curious. I almost feel like your discovery path with The Last of Us is, you know, this is the type of thing we've done before. Like, both you and I arrived to the Mass Effect series. Like, we were very late to the party. We were very fashionably late to the Mass Effect party. We looked fierce in those wigs, but we showed up late to the party and played the whole trilogy. And it's like, now we're in love with that. So I'm very curious, even though I don't see myself taking that same adventure through The Last of Us, because I've told you this before, I don't think I'm okay with the level of violence in those games for me personally. You know, and again, this is just a personal thing. Like, again, I'm not saying they're bad games. In fact, from everything I've heard about them, and I have spoiled myself on the second one. I'm not going to be a jerk and say anything, but I know I'm not going to play it. So I kind of spoiled myself. And after reading about it, I was like, okay, I can see where that is really like, that's like definitely thought provoking. Like, it's definitely like a, and that's what really,
I know what you're talking about. It's about the,
well, don't spoil it for our listeners, but it's not.
But that, the one thing that's got parts of the community up in arms.
Yeah. It's, yeah, and art should make you, should be thought provoking. So I think in that regard,
it's, if art makes you go, you know, then it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Art is supposed to be provocative.
Yeah. So just like that wig Jamie's wearing.
Oh, hey, wait till you see the next one. It sucks.
All right. Low key.
I can't go digging into my wig drawer.
Low key. How was your gaming week?
So I did play a few things this week, mainly Minecraft still. Still building more complex things. I dug out a third basement in the house, so it's just massive. I really need to do a video for it. And then aside from that, Orna, and then I played a bit of the Devolver Land Expo, and also I played a little bit of Animal Crossing. I finally got my tent into a house, and that was about it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Then let's talk about my gaming week and the types of games I've played this week. I played also Minecraft. That might shock you, but I actually bought into one of those little ad things that was on my Xbox dashboard because I was in the Game Pass section and it said there was some new add-on that was like a runner type thing, and it kind of had like a futuristic look to it. I was like, oh, is this like a Tron type of thing? So there's like a free custom game add-on thing that they have. It's like, and it's, that's what it is. It's an endless runner. You're basically jumping over things and collecting items and so forth while the background is like slowly trying to catch up to you. And it's just really cool. Like, I knew this was happening, that people are building meta games in Minecraft, and that Minecraft in a way is almost its own game creation engine at this point too. But it's just, it's neat to, I admittedly have not played a lot of the products that's come from that. So I like that Microsoft is kind of giving this one a little boost by making it free, obviously, to check out, but also just kind of like showing us that, hey, look at the crazy things people are doing in Minecraft. Because I did play it a few times. I mean, it's not, you've played this game before. It's nothing earth shattering, but it was just kind of cool that it was in Minecraft.
There's lots of like different little game modes and stuff that people make that are, or some of them could be pretty complex. Like, they have Skyblock is a pretty popular game mode, and they have a lot of these like infinite skyblocks and stuff that'll kind of keep the game going. And what I like about those is it kind of gives you more objectives to try to hit. I know in the Java version, they've added more of these, it's not achievements, they call them like advancements, I guess. And it's like little mini goals to kind of keep you motivated in the game, even after you beat stuff. And since they don't really have that yet in the Pocket Edition or Bedrock, this is kind of cool in the meantime. Plus, there's like lots of like unique game modes that you can play on all these different servers and stuff, and that's all free. But yeah, and myself, like, I run add-ons on my Realm, and some I've even created from scratch, so it's fun to be able to do that kind of stuff and modify the game to however you want.
So yeah, I love looking at that type of stuff on Minecraft. That's been really fun and inventive. So I've been playing other stuff too. The same old standbys like Orna, Pokemon Go. I've oddly this week been playing probably like more Ingress than I usually do. Like, I've been going pretty hard this week, and I'm sure the opposing team is like, "What the hell has gotten into them?" And the answer is quarantine has been a big part of that, because the nice thing about Ingress is either I'm playing outdoors, like I'm walking in a big park, going to take a portal, I'm outdoors, or I'm in my car. And both of those places are pretty safe. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a fun, and it's like a good excuse to get out of the house and like do something, you know, because it's like, we can't just, go to the mall and just hang out. Well, I mean, I guess technically you can, but, you know, do I want to do that right now? Not really.
One of the things you're missing on Facebook is all the events for going to see movies, like drive-in movies at the mall. It's the new thing that malls are doing, it seems like.
Well, hey, you know, I understand. These are crazy-ass fucking times, and they've got to do what they've got to do to stay in business. And as long as it's being respectful of the things we need to do to stop COVID from spreading, which a drive-in event is, then I'm living for it. Like, honestly, I would give a lot to be able to go to like that drive-in drag show. And I know Jamie's got to be thinking this too. I think it's in Chicago or something. They're taking some drive-in movie theater and turning it into a drag show. Like, they're gonna have drag queens perform and then like show it on the movie screens as it's happening on this stage, like way down there. And I'm like, it's kind of amazing, actually. So, all right.
This wig needs some love. I just pulled it right out of the bag.
VG Realness in chat says, "I'm loving the show within a show." Yeah, Dark Socrates, meanwhile, she's doing like a monologue called Wigs Upon Wigs over there where she's...
I'm on number three.
Not just that you're putting on wigs. It's that you keep doing these looks to the camera. You're like, "I'm a model. Don't tell. I have a secret. I'm on a video game podcast, but don't tell." You're like doing
this
all
this. Is Sakura's secret.
And then you're like, "I'm going to put this moment on Instagram over here. Yes, I am. Look, CJ is my favorite character in Animal Crossing. I wonder why." Like, it's just,
nah.
It's giving me
it's
life.
Flick. It's Flick.
They're together anyway. All right. Anyway. Other games that I've been playing this week besides those other usuals. So Soul Calibur 6 is on Xbox Game Pass. And I played it a little bit on PC, but I was like, I'm going to play it again now that it's on Xbox. And it's really fun to get in there and design your own character. I think they did a good job with the single player campaign too. It kind of throws back a little bit to part two, honestly, for me. Although I know all the Soul Calibur games have had like, you know, kind of like a mission mode, but I'm for some reason reminded of part two. My only complaint about Soul Calibur 6 on Xbox, holy shit, the loading times. Holy shit, they're bad. And maybe it's because I'm on an original Xbox, but I can, and keep in mind, it's on Game Pass, so it's all digital. I can't imagine how bad it would be if I still had the disc. The disc must copy everything to the drive. It's the only way it would work. But the loading times, wow, they're bad. They're very noticeable. Otherwise, it's a fun game, and I like they do some like the supers from like Super Street Fighter 4 and stuff, and it is really over the top stuff. So that's that's kind of fun. Bobby Blackwolf says all Xbox One and PS4 games copy the whole disc to the drive. I guess I thought there were some that would still retain like movies, but I guess that's more of a trick back from the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 days. So. Excuse me, but I have heard Blu-ray drives are notoriously slow, so that like doesn't totally surprise me. Other games I played this week. So, okay, this is bad. I can't remember the name of this game, but it's also on Game Pass. I'm hoping Loki or Dark Sakura, one of you guys knows this game, or our chat. I think it's called Chrono World or something like that. Maybe Cross World. Somebody in chat will know. It's new. They just put it on Game Pass.
Is it Cross Code?
Is that it? Cross Code. Okay. Sorry. It's Cross Code. Okay. That, yes, that is it. Maybe I'm thinking of the game within the game. So the whole setup is that, like, and maybe this is like a spoilery type of thing, but not really, because I'm only like, I just beat chapter 2, and this is something that comes up in chapter 1. But it's like you're a character in an MMO who's been like kicked out of the MMO, basically. And now you exist like in the game master space, and they go to put you back in the game. And there's a whole nother plot, I'm sure, and it goes further. But there's a whole game within a game type of element, like a dot hack
is
or something.
Like, sort of,
like when they put you in WoW jail?
Not really WoW jail, but it's a ship. You end up on a ship. But anyway, I'm actually really into it. It's funny that I can't remember all these details, because I am actually really into it, because it really reminds me of like Zelda. I would say like the action of a Zelda game meets the music of a Secret of Mana or Chrono Trigger type of game. Meets maybe that it's a really interesting little throwback to like all of those Super Nintendo RPGs like all at once, and I think it's kind of interesting. It has an interesting story. Like I wasn't expecting some of those, like, oh, this is kind of the direction it's going. It's interesting. I like it. going in chat, S200 Matt says, so Tron. I don't know. Maybe a little bit Tron.
Interesting, like dot hack meets something else.
Yeah, that's what Sia Dabiri says. Dot hack meets, yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, there's that too. So I'm into it. Yeah, and if you like those old Super Nintendo type of games, especially if you have Xbox Game Pass, because I see Miltonius Games in chat says, I'm downloading this. Interesting. If you have Xbox Game Pass, by all means, get it, because it's good. But it is also on Switch. And I think it's on all the consoles. I don't see why it wouldn't be on PlayStation. So I would say, you know, I don't think it's probably an expensive game, maybe $15-$20. And if you enjoy those Super Nintendo types of games, I'm sure this is going to be right up your alley. So I would recommend it. So I'm hoping to play more of it. That's for sure. Bobby says it was released on PC in 2019, and it's on PC Game Pass. So somehow I just missed it on the PC version. I've been playing it on Xbox, but whatever. That happens sometimes. It's like, oh, I didn't know this game was on PC because I found it on my console first, or vice versa. So like that pinball game I played a few weeks ago was on, which is the one I said Darksakura should play. It was on Xbox Game Pass. That just totally reminded me of like Devil's Crush. I played that on PC first, but of course it's on Xbox as well. So it, you know, it just depends on, you know, where you like to get stuff. So anyway,
if you're done with your gaming week, there's actually one other thing I forgot about.
Yeah, go for
it. I'm going to be doing a charity stream in Sister Face, because I'm going to be doing it, like I said, for charity through we haven't decided on which one. But on my Twitter, at Darksakura, I have a poll up. It's up for the rest of the week. I might extend it, but I want someone to help me pick the first of three games I'm going to start off with. So it's either going to be Dream Daddy or Hatoful Boyfriend or I Love You, Colonel Sanders. I'm going dating sim.
That's a tough decision. Why not all three?
Because I can't play all three simultaneously. There's only one me.
Have you tried? Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it'd be like just like different recordings of me in different wigs, you know, all in the same sister face. So, yeah, but then y'all get to see my real drag.
All right, well, that'll be fun.
So you see my real drag.
Make sure send me the details on when, so I can make sure we're hosting it here at Vogue. So
I'm still working on the details, but it's coming up. I'm just like right now gathering the stuff together. But you won't see Darksakura. You'll see the Kiki.
Good times. Yep. All right. Well, that's it for our gaming week. So we're going to get into some gaming news. Just real quickly first, I just want to put like a personal thing out there. And don't worry, this won't be as yelling as last week. Although this has been a rough week. Those of you that follow me on Twitter know that my dad had an urgent situation on Friday morning, and I had to go over to his house and call 911 on him. And it turns out that he actually had a stroke. So I'm really glad that I did call 911 on him. I thought he had a concussion, and I was like, well, he needs to be evaluated for this, and I don't want to move him, you know, or whatever. So luckily, even though I figured it was the wrong thing, it kind of led to all the right decisions. So I'm thankful I got him in when he did, because it does seem like he will be okay. He's going to need to go through some physical therapy and so forth. This whole thing's been very scary, but it could have been a lot worse if, you know, we'd let it go longer or what have you. So anyway, my point is, I don't want to burden you too much with sad news or what have you, but I did want to just say thank you, because I know a lot of you have said some very kind things on Twitter, as well as, you know, the VOG Network Discord and places like that. So I just want to take a minute to really thank you guys for the support and everything. And yeah, it means a lot. So thank you very much. So, all right, we can go back to video games. Loki?
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Epic and Sony. So Epic Games, of course, really big, or trying to be big in the PC space. And before, you've had a lot of money going into them from Tencent and whatnot. But now we have Sony actually purchasing $250 million of stake in the company. And they're promising to, I guess, collaborate with them. So throughout our investment, we explore opportunities for further collaboration with Epic to delight and bring value to consumers and the industry at large, not only in games, but also across rapidly evolving digital entertainment landscapes. So I have no idea what that's supposed to mean as far as, you know, maybe exclusives for certain things, maybe with the trend of a lot of their PC titles coming to, their PlayStation 4 titles coming to PC, that it'll continue going to Epic first?
Well, something to think about too, and Bobby talked a little bit about this on his show. I'm going to get into that in a moment, but certainly Sony is more than just a video game company. Sony also is in the habit of doing, you know, music and movies, and they're a multi-type of entertainment company. So, and Bobby went into this on his show a little bit, so I'll kind of like defer you to check out his show, and I'm not going to try to repeat it too much. But the gist of it is, if you look at the way some TV shows are made right now, it's not so, or not just TV shows, excuse me, but even some movies, is that it's not necessarily just green screen, but you can have the projection of the Unreal Engine.
Building virtual sets. And
exactly,
whatnot.
With the virtual sets and all of that. So if you think about it from that regard, because a lot of people were kind of joking, they're like, oh, $250 million. It doesn't take Fortnite long to make that much money. But maybe, sure, the game thing might be part of it. Who knows? Maybe Sony's trying to buy some exclusives for Fortnite. Who knows? But I think it would make a lot of sense, especially in the current state of the world, with COVID and this whole thing being quite the uncertainty, and we don't know how long it's going to be before maybe we can make movies the old-fashioned way again. It might make a lot of sense for Sony to be exploring these types of virtual filmmaking type of things to, you know, provide these different, you know, backgrounds, and so that maybe it would take less people on a set. I mean, obviously it would still take a lot of people designing it and doing the programming and so forth, but they wouldn't necessarily be on the set. So it's a way to kind of do things a little more distant. So when you kind of pair those things against each other, like, in a way, to me, like, it makes a lot of like sense where a relationship like that could be really fruitful, not just necessarily gaming.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see what they do with it.
Yeah. Questbuster in chat says, I mentioned this on Bobby's show, but it's interesting seeing how valuable Epic has become over the years. $250 million from Sony bought them 1.4% stake in the company. $330 million back in 2012 from Tencent bought them 40%. Yeah, that's right. The cost has gone way, way up, that's for sure. SG100 Matt says, for movies and TV, everyone would just go to ILM for them to do everything that involves special effects. But that's Disney now, so not everyone wants to go Disney every time. Yeah. So I think that could be an element of it, is that it's not just necessarily Fortnite as much as it might be Epic's game-making abilities and the Game Maker engine and how that can be utilized in other mediums such as filmmaking, because I've heard of Unreal Engine being used in things like teaching, you know, and there's other industries and other places that engine can develop things for. So it's
I know one of the focuses that they have on, like, the training that's online is with architecture and you know, designing, like, buildings and interiors, decorating, that type of stuff. It's used a lot for that as well. So yeah, be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, moving on, let's talk about a new game announcement that happened this week. So Nintendo was hyping a Treehouse event where they were going to be showing more footage of the new Paper Mario game, the Origami King, that's coming out pretty soon. So they did a Treehouse event to show some footage for that. But they also dropped on Twitter, by the way, WayForward is going to be announcing a new game that's new for them, not a new IP or something like that. And this caused social media to go fucking nuts. Because, you know, WayForward's done a lot of really quality retro revivals. I believe they were behind the Blaster Master Zero stuff, if I'm not mistaken, right? Certainly WayForward is synonymous with Shantae, you know, and those types of games. So, you know, WayForward...
Didn't they do, like, the DuckTales remaster
Yes, they did. So a lot of people... The first thing was, holy shit, Nintendo has given them... Metroid, I don't know, insert fanboy thing here, and WayForward's going to announce this at the, well, Nintendo had to go so far as to say it's not a first party title. They actually did that rare follow-up tweet where they were like, calm the fuck down. They didn't say that, but that's what I heard. Calm the fuck down. It's not a first party game. It's a third party game. But then everybody, and myself included, I was like, I would love for, how about the Guardian Legend? How about a Konami title? You know, I did put the footnote. I did say, I know I'm just hyping myself up. These things are not going to happen, and we'll just be happy with whatever
it is. It's time for Ella Bits to come back.
Well, imagine the internet's response. Imagine everybody hypes themselves up, and imagine the response when WayForward comes out and announces Bakugan, Champions of Vestroia. And everybody's like, Bakugan? The fuck is that? And it came out on the Wii. And if you see the art, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I've seen this game before. It was a game that was on the Wii and so forth. So WayForward is bringing it back. And it's a game where you can, and it's going to launch on November 3rd. And you can build your own team. It's an action RPG style game. There actually is a TV series that goes with this. And it's an original story that will expand on that. There's 100 different quests in the game, over 100 different quests. You collect different Bakugan. It's kind of like Pokemon like that. You collect 80 different ones. There's 200 different ability types and upgrades. There will be online head-to-head multiplayer and so on. And, you know, it's funny because there are a lot of people that were like, Bakugan, but there's also some people that were like, fuck yeah, I liked Bakugan. I'm glad this is coming back. So it's a little bit niche, and I think, again, people set the bar really high on what they were expecting, but that's what the internet does. And if you are not used to the internet setting themselves up for disappointment, I don't know. You must be new here. But it's an interesting choice. I'll say that. And that's not me being shady. It just is, wow, you know, of all the different games out there, it's interesting they're going back to this one. But they have the TV series and all those tie-ins, too. So, Miltonius Games in chat says, that announcement made the live chat for that Treehouse insufferable. Everyone being rude and impatient during the Paper Mario stuff just to be angry at the announcement. For me personally, when it comes to these big events, this is why I always, always, always turn chat off and just do a full screen theater mode on my PS4. I never read chat during these types of events because the chat is shit. It's horrible. The only time I have ever experienced good chat rooms, I would say for the most part, the Awesome Games Done Quick, they usually have pretty good chats. But what really, like, I don't think chat will ever be this good again, was that first Bob Ross marathon they had on Twitch. That was pure and wholesome, and I don't think I'll ever be in a Twitch chat room. Well, besides you guys, of course. I'll ever be in a Twitch chat room that great again. So, yeah. Anyway. Other comments in chat. I want to make sure I got what VG Realness said because it is very true. VG Realness says, always go into any type of Nintendo Direct or event with the utmost minimal expectations, and you will always be satisfied. After they showed Yarn Yoshi for like a year on Nintendo Directs, I learned my lesson. That part. That is exactly correct. All right. Act Deft in chat says, never read chat except VOG chat. Fair. All right, moving on. Let's get into another story. So I think this one's yours, Dark Soccer. So you have to take a break from your meta game and your camera up there.
I got to do something, right? Going back to Ubisoft, there's more drama. And they actually...
I'm going to step off cam for just a moment, but I'll be listening. Sorry.
Getting your way, Mom. Stealing my thunder. Okay. I see how it is. Anyway, Ubisoft has released an announcement. And yes, that was a Sailor Venus pin, RG Realms. I have the full set of the original five. But at any rate, Ubisoft is has announced that they are having a departure of many of their top officials, including their human resources director, their second highest official. I'm going to mispronounce Serge Hassouet. Has quit his post as chief creative officer immediately, and that his role will be taken over by the CEO Yves Guillemot. And the quote from Guillemot says, "Ubisoft has fallen short of its obligation to guarantee a safe and inclusive working environment for its employees." So, do you know what that goes back to? It goes back to quite a bit more harassment and misconduct. It's actually pretty terrible, and I'm really glad that people are speaking up about it, that people are putting their foot down and letting them know that these things won't be tolerated anymore, and going very public with it. We need more of this. You know, we're definitely seeing the resurgence of Me Too, and we are seeing these voices being heard finally. HR person, Cécile Cornet, has also resigned, like I said earlier. They are going to be appointing a new global human resources manager. Now, even with all of this, they are not, well, by are not, mean did not address misconduct issues during the digital showcase. And I'm going to read the direct quote from their Twitter. "Ubisoft Forward comes during a time of big internal change. Because all the content has been pre-recorded, we want to recognize that the issues we're currently dealing with won't be addressed directly in the show. We still have significant work to do and are committed to this process. We will provide more updates soon." So basically, they're not glossing over it, but it looks like that they are acknowledging it, but I mean, if the stuff was recorded, then yeah, there's no way they can time travel and do it with enough time, and it's already been done. And then, I mean, there's a bunch of other announcements come out for sexual misconduct, like over 50 in the Super Smash Brothers community. There were the ones that I spoke about a few weeks ago, and it's really time that people in, you know, especially, I'm just going to go say it, don't go not all men, because it is enough cisgender men who are pulling this shit that we have to be wary of all of them, except the people I know. You guys are cool.
Trust is something that's earned. Trust is not something that's automatically granted in a position of power. And I think we talked about this, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago or last week, but I remember having a tangent where it was, this is really a call against people in power, and do they deserve that power? And if they're going to use that power for bad things, that power is going to be taken away, and there's going to be that accountability. And I think there's a big kind of reckoning with that concept in all sorts of places right now. I think a lot of what you see with the racial injustice and the police and that whole thing is that police are in a position of power. And the reason why,
and they have
people,
protections to let them abuse it.
And so that's why people are saying they want to defund the police, because this power, if it's not being used for good things, should be taken away. So my point is that I think that's kind of like the common thread you're seeing in a lot of these social movements that are going on right now, is kind of questioning, why are these people in power? Are they using power for good things? Why should they continue to be in power? You know?
So that being said, there actually is, it's no secret that probably my favorite other podcast out there is Stuff Mom Never Told You. The July 3rd episode is a really good one to listen to. It's talking about the state of Me Too during the pandemic, going on in July. But it brings up a lot of what's going on in the gaming community. Definitely worth a listen to. It's a very good episode. And it goes into a lot of some of the same things that I've said. So I think it would definitely be worth a listen to.
Let me go ahead and give Matt a chance to jump in with the next story, because it just, like, you actually referenced it a second here Darsara.
It just keeps on going. So, you know, you have, you know, allegations in major AAA companies. And, of course, there's been a countless, not countless, but lots of allegations of misconduct in various you know, gaming communities. And one of those in particular is the Super Smash Brothers community. So over the last few weeks, there's been about 50 different allegations made from the community regarding different people in the community. And just it's been all sorts of things from allegations of rape, sexual assault, preying on minors, grooming, underage players. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous that this is just everywhere. But yeah, it's a lot of people have kind of dropped out of, you know, competing in the Smash Brothers community because of this. I know that there's been several people that have been taken out of the different tournaments. I don't know how people can get their arms around this kind of stuff. It's just, I think it's just everywhere. And unfortunately, we are only hearing about, you know, a small percentage of them.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think the number I heard was that there's 50 allegations, 50 different in the Smash community. I mean, 50. That is I mean, one is too many. I mean, we all know that. But 50, I mean, that just really like is like, holy God. You know, it's and it's a tricky scenario because on one hand you're like, that's horrible that these events ever happened. On the same token, it's coming to light and maybe we can do something about it now and clean this up because, you know, we might be, you know, losing these people from the tournament scene or whatever. But think about all the people that, and again, this goes back to being in a position of power and what you do with that power. Think of all the people that other people in power suppressed from wanting to join the community. Like,
and for everyone who speaks up, there are other people who have not spoken up. You know, there's and this is just more of a general thing, but at least for people who are assigned, you know, female at birth, we are raised with this conditioning that we're just supposed to take it, that this is the way it is, that our voice isn't as important, that we're supposed to worry about the needs of others before ourselves. And we're all, it's bullshit. We have as much right to anger. We have as much right to protect ourselves. We have as much right to have power and want things as anybody. And I think that the old guard is starting to realize that they're losing their ground. And it's, it's really time to hold those asses to the fire.
Yeah. And, you know, there's those types of things, those types of traumatic experiences that people go through, whether it's, you know, these very, very, very serious allegations of sexual assault or so forth, or, you know, even folks that bully other people and use, you know, their positions of power to, you know, bully or traumatize other people can hold people back from wanting to join a space like designing video games, like entering these types of tournaments and so forth, and or maybe not wanting to be on Twitch a few years earlier. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, and by statistics, women do make up half of the gamers. We are, I mean, it is split. Yet, you know, it's been such a boys' club for so long that, you know, there's this, you know, this myth versus the reality. And it's time for people to realize that we are half of it. We deserve respect. Everyone deserves respect, but it's time to start paying attention. Mm-hmm. Do it. It's long past time to start paying attention. I'm spent. Sorry, Loki, I took your story.
Oh, that's fine.
We bring stories to the table for discussion. That's what it is. Tiger Clown Chat says, you're in a place of business and you're supposed to treat it as one. This is not some bar where you can go mingle with others and hoping you'll hook up. That's a really good point. And I know sometimes I give Tiger Claw a lot of shit for some of like the constant updates on the Sonic movie and things like that. But I'm going to give credit where credit is due, because that is an excellent point I want y'all to think about for a little bit. Especially because we know that Twitch is a place where some people have gone to want to create their certain types of careers. right? Like, I'm going to stream full time and that's going to be my job. Well, then you got to put on your big boy pants and treat it like a job. And exactly that. That means when you go to these mixer parties and so forth at E3 or TwitchCon or something like that, you are still representing you and your brand. That is not the time to be a sleaze. Unless your brand is sleaze, I suppose. But I don't think a sleaze brand tends to do very well. So that's a very excellent point, in my opinion. If you want Twitch streaming to be your job, if you want competitive video games to be your job, treat it like it's your fucking job. Right?
Because it is.
Because it is. And that's what you want it to be. So, all right. Let's see. I'm looking at other GG Rama S says true, but there is after hours which causes all this. Well, I think.
Oh no, this shit happens at work.
Well, sure, of course. But when virtualness is your workplace, right? Then it is something that kind of like always surrounds you. And again, if your workplace, if your job is you and your brand, then you've kind of picked a career where you're always on 24/7. I mean, look at actors and actresses, right? Who's that guy? Is it Ezra Miller that got filmed at like a Costco or something? Like some fan goes like, choke me daddy or something. And like Ezra Miller, like does it like full on, like kind of like assault. And I'm sorry, because I don't remember if it was provoked or not. And I don't want to make it sound like it was provoked when it wasn't. I saw this thing once, like 2 months ago. Maybe somebody in chat can fill me in, but like literally chokes a fan. And I think I have to say it's allegedly Ezra Miller, because I don't know if it was ever proven it really was him. But my point with all that is, like, because everybody's got, you know, the smartphones and cameras and so forth, he's a celebrity. You can't just go around choking people when you're off the clock. Does that make sense? Like,
you can't just go around choking people anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, I'm on the clock. It's okay now, but yeah.
Sorry, you're right. I worded that horribly. I'm very sorry. No, my job is being Darth Vader. I will force choke you now. No, I shouldn't make light of it. No, don't choke people ever. That's a good thing. But you know the point I'm getting at, though, right, is that, you know, he has to represent his brand because his brand is his job, and being able to land movie roles and things like that all of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't choke strangers. That's the thing. Let's see. Bonds006 says, darn, can't choke the fan. Oh, yeah. SG100 Matt says, you're mostly right, Rob. The fan was stalking him in a bar and he snapped and he choked the fan. So there's a little bit of, you know, not that choking is ever appropriate, but this is definitely one of those cases of a wrong led to a bigger wrong, and it led to a big whole wrong snowball. So, you know, at the same time, you have to allow actors and actresses, you know, they're fucking people. Give them their space. Right. That's why I hate doing that stuff. Like I've been told, like, oh, look, there's so and so over there. We should go like talk to him. And I'm like, no, let them like have your moment of, hey, that's so and so, and move on, because you like let them live. It's so annoying. Oh, anyway. All right. Anything else we want to say on this important topic? I'm sorry, I might have derailed things a little bit, but I did want to get the chat comments out.
Fuck it. Just be decent. Be nice.
Yeah.
Stop being an asshole.
Gaming is for everyone. Make it a space
Gaming
for everyone.
Gaming is for everyone. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, Bobby. Teach your kids to be decent.
That too. Don't be creepy. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's go to a completely different topic and talk about Nintendo. And a lot of confusion about where the hell Nintendo's at right now, because Nintendo hasn't really done a direct to announce a barrage of new games outside of this random Bakugan announcement, which isn't even really their game anyway. It's WayForward's game. So what's Nintendo doing? What are they up to? Did this COVID situation screw them up? What's happening? So there was a shareholder meeting, and in talking to investors, senior managing executive officer at Nintendo, Shinya Takahashi, said that although the company as a whole is a little behind schedule due to the pandemic, game releases this fiscal year through March 2021 are currently not affected. So they're saying that games that are scheduled to come out this fiscal year are not affected. Now, here's my thing, though. I think there's a lot of word choice going on there because fiscal year goes through March 2021. So if there was a game that was going to come out in November that maybe doesn't make it out now until March 2021, well, they still made their fiscal year now, didn't they? So I don't think this necessarily means that everything is on, and they admit to being a little bit behind. So I don't think this is necessarily saying that everything is on schedule. Now, of course, the other thing that Nintendo has kind of taught us is that the holiday season might not be what it once was in this industry. And what I mean by that is, let's not forget, Nintendo launched the Switch outside of the holiday period within the fiscal year. They launched it in March. So technically, Nintendo's kind of used to this, where they can launch big products in January, February, March, and they'll still do very well. If the game is good, it'll sell, right? So I wouldn't worry too much. I think if you were expecting a whole bunch of releases in October, November, they may be delayed a few months. But it sounds like we will still have some things coming by March of 2021 for sure. What that is, though, we don't know. How they're going to announce those games, we don't know. Nothing has really been said on that front. So Phoenix7726 says, I can only imagine what Black Friday is going to be like. I think everybody should prepare themselves for the possibility there may not be one like the way you were used to before. I mean, we don't know what the virus situation is going to look like, but there's likely not going to be a vaccine by November or treatment. So, I mean, we can cross our fingers and hope for a miracle in the treatment department. But as things, you know, hopefully COVID starts to trail off, you know, maybe by some miracle we are able to reverse that. We convince people to wear their masks and it starts to trail off a little more in this country. But I imagine those huge crowds of people fighting over toasters, not going to happen this year because they're just going to limit how many people go in those stores. But it is still too early to say. I mean, if you think about it, from March till now has been 4 months, and how much has changed in that 4 months. And guess what? From July to November, that's another 4 months. So a lot can change. We'll see. SG100 Matt says, Prime Day was supposed to be this past week. Amazon delayed it indefinitely. Phoenix7726 says, at least in the USA, yeah, it's going to get canceled. I don't trust our leaders enough to knock this down by then. This is probably, unfortunately, true. However, don't get conceited if you're in another country. There's still going to have to be protections that happen in other countries. Like, I know New Zealand's very proud of the fact that they don't really have coronavirus right now, or at least those that they do are, like, completely isolated. It's a very low number. They haven't had the outbreak in New Zealand nearly in the way that we've had here. Kudos to them. They've had very competent leadership in New Zealand in fighting this virus. But they can't get lazy about it, right? If they suddenly relax a lot of things, what's going to happen? It's going to invite the virus into this place that's been mostly unexposed, right? So my point is, countries are going to have to continue to fight and protect against this until we have a vaccine, effective treatment, herd immunity, which seems, I mean, I know there's a lot of recent studies on that. There's a lot of conflicting stuff right now on that. Let's just say the reports on vaccines seem more promising than the reports on herd immunity. That's all I'll say with that. So,
And Sweden proved that point.
Oh yeah, there was that too. So,
and on top of that, the new studies are saying that it's possible to be reinfected and that the virus is airborne. So,
joy, yeah. So, anyhow, So anyway, one other thing I want to say about the Nintendo piece, though, besides just like, you know, the games possossibly being pushed out till March 2021 a little bit, we have to think of the holiday season running through March. They did mention that the working from home benefits have not necessarily been all negative, because it was also revealed that recent surprise release of theirs, Jump Rope Challenge, I don't know if you've seen that on the Switch, but it was like a little freebie they put out. Jump Rope Challenge was like a game jam that Nintendo did in-house. Another comment from Takahashi said that the game was built with pandemic-centric physical fitness in mind. So they basically did a game jam, it sounds like, about what are some ways that the Switch could encourage physical fitness while being at home. And Jump Rope Challenge was the result. That's kind of rad, actually. So, and I love this image of big game companies doing internal game jams to find the next little big product. And I'm sure Nintendo's not the only company to do it. And I think that's really neat. So I like that. I think that's a good thing to come from this whole isolation thing. Not that there's really anything good about it, but you look for the diamonds in the rough, I suppose. So, all right. Well, moving on. Darkstalker, what do you have for us next? You're muted, Darkstalker, just so you know, on your headset.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, going back to other Nintendo-related news, we have now had another unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers sell. Not like a Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt or any of that. It's a Super Mario Brothers. And this one sold for $114,000. It was one of the 1985 releases. It was put up by Heritage Auctions, based out of Dallas. It is the most money ever paid for a video game, according to Heritage. It is a particularly rare copy of Super Mario Brothers because the box was sealed with a cardboard hanging tab underneath the plastic, which is an indicator that this was produced after Nintendo started using shrink wrap to seal their games rather than stickers. And so it's in excellent condition. It's the highest graded copy of the game that Heritage has ever sold. And the whole auction that they did brought in about $700,000, according to Heritage. They also sold a prototype of a Sega Pluto 2 console, which sold for $84,000. As far as I know, I think there's only two in existence. So this particular one, the Pluto 02, the thing about this one is it was supposed to be a Sega Saturn that was more of a budget model that had the built-in internet connectors on it. And so the thing with that is that had it been released, it would have been the first home console that was internet capable. And then one of their other big sellers was a copy of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for $50,400. And it was one of the first sealed copies of Super Mario Brothers 3 that was $38,400. And there are apparently less than 10 copies of that in existence. So,
wow. There's something.
If I had that money, I could pay off my house.
Well, there's certain elements of these that are making them collectibles. And like you said with the Super Mario, it's the fact that it had the pull tab and it was sealed that way as opposed to shrink wrap. Because I think that also indicated, and somebody in chat might have to help me fill in the gaps, but I want to say that pull tab was very unique to like the first pressing of the game. And I think some type of arrangement with Sears, that they were sold exclusively in their store, like in the first pressing. And I think the box itself has like a black bar in a different place or something like that. But there were very few of those made because the pull tab was more of a test market thing. Whereas when it went like full, because you might be sitting there at home and you have a copy of just Super Mario Brothers. Because I mean, as rare as it is to find a Super Mario Brothers by itself cartridge, because most people remember that packed in with Duck Hunt, right? Or even the Duck Hunt World Class Track Meet, right? But there were some Mario Brothers by itself, because if you might recall, there was also a Rob the Robot set. And
there
Mario,
was.
Mario Brothers wasn't packed in with that. It was Gyromite? I want to say it was Gyromite. Maybe it was Breakthrough. It was one of those Rob the Robot games, and I think Duck Hunt.
No, Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew.
Was it Wrecking Crew? Okay. So it was a difference in the game. So you still had to buy Mario Brothers separately. So, I mean, that card existed. But I think in the earliest version, like the test market stuff, had the pull tab. And that's what makes it so rare. So, and there's got to be things like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Shit, I had that game. But there's got to be something about like a particular first pressing or a mistake or something. I mean, the fact that it's still shrink wrap's pretty good, but you can go back and re-shrink wrap games. So there's got to be something about that packaging that's different. Oh, Hype Mayhem is actually saying, I got the NES that came with Gyromite and Duck Hunt, and we got Super Mario Brothers separately. And Dark Tetsuya says, I have the Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt track Meet 3-in-1. Yeah, a little later on than the Power Pad Nintendo. So there was the NES robot set and the action set. And the action set was one with the zapper And that sold way more than the robot set, because the robot set was more expensive, and Nintendo never really convinced people why the robot was a thing you needed.
It was a gimmick.
It was, yeah, it was very gimmicky.
So then I have to ask everyone, what color was the gun on your Nintendo?
Silver.
Mine was gray.
Silver, yeah. Yep. So, yes, they did. They changed the color of the gun. What, by about 87, they changed the color of the gun to that neon orange because realism. And I was also going to make the joke that the action set with the gun sold better than the robot set because this is America and we love guns. So the action set.
But you know what never changed color?
Huh.
The Zillion gun that came with the Sega Master System.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, I was going to say, wasn't the Rob the Robot set way more expensive, too?
It was way more expensive. And they really could. And then people didn't want Gyromite and Duck Hunt. People wanted Mario Brothers, or Super Mario Brothers, of course. That was the game.
I remember I would always see, like, it was at our local, like, video rental store. And I think they sold games, too, because I bought games from them. But they always had, like, behind the, like, display case, the Rob the Robot thing. I was like, oh, man, I don't want that. But then, like, of course, you know, it was like a couple $100 for just that.
One of my friends in high school had Rob the Robot because he was a spoiled brat. So he had that, and I remember playing it at his house. So there was, you know, I did get to check that out at one point. So, all right. I'm just telling it like it is, y'all. All right. Anyway, neat to know that the old video is. Oh, anyway, sorry. I meant to say. So the action set got replaced at some point with the Power Pad set, right? That was everything. And then I think after the Power Pad set came that new Nintendo. So they didn't even really sell sets anymore at that point. So a lot of people had that Power Pad set as well. But ironically, the other super expensive NES game is, if you can find that track meet game, World Class Track Meet, if you can find that when it was called Stadium Events. Because what happened, Nintendo got that Power Pad by acquiring it from another company, and they acquired Stadium Events and then repackaged it as World Class Track Meet. But if you can find an original Stadium Events, that shit is very expensive. So it's kind of neat. Interesting. All right. Stadium Events, yeah, that's what I thought there in a chat. ActDev says, I still remember that news story about some dudes in Brazil robbing a bank or something with Master System guns. And Bobby Blackwolf does point out, with all the counterfeits, it's really hard. That's a good point. It's easy, relatively, through minorly sophisticated technology, to just take an old cart no one wants, like Gyromite. Sorry, Gyromite fans. And replace the ROM, flash an image instead of Stadium Events on the ROM, put a new sticker on it, ta-da, you have a counterfeit copy of Stadium Events. And that's unfortunately something that you can do. So it's tricky. All right, anyway, let's move on. We got some more news to get into. We could talk about video game collecting for a long time. But we have news about a video game collectible, right, Logie?
Yes, and so this really hits home for me, because I own a full-size cabinet of one of these. It's a Sega Astro City, and it's basically one of those, like, mini devices. And it looks pretty beefy. It's reminds me a lot of, like, the Neo Geo Collectors little mini that they did, but about that same size. It's got 36 games, and it's going to retail for about $119 or 12,800 yen. And some of the games that they've revealed, or at least the first 10, Virtua Fighter, Fantasy Zone, Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder, Alien Storm, Alien Syndrome, Columns 2, Dark Edge, Puzzle in Action, Tant R, and Altered Beast.
You know I want it.
And it's pretty cool. So aside from it having, like, a screen in there and everything, they also have, it looks like, a almost like a Genesis controller version that you can get as well.
Almost looks like an old Mark III controller, but with the extra buttons.
Yeah, I mean, the controller that they have on there, I mean, it definitely resembles the Astro City. But the little, like, controller you can get, I guess, plugs in, it's USB, is only $26. Yeah, it's pretty nice. I just wish my screen worked on mine, because when I moved it to the garage, it stopped displaying pictures. And actually, now that I was looking at some parts and stuff, I'm like, I just remembered that. I wonder if I disconnected something on the power supply, so I have to go look at that later tonight when it's not 100 degrees out in the garage.
Do you think it's the heat that screwed up that system in the garage?
No. This was in the winter when I moved everything, so I had an issue with I don't know what it is. I think it could have been because, like, it's a really – I mean, it's got a CRT in it that's like a 29-inch CRT, and that thing is heavy. So I think it's possible that when I moved it in there, maybe the jostling it around could have caused some problems, or because it's old. I mean, it's probably a few decades old. So, I mean, I don't know. It's stuff like that just eventually dies, and you might have to, like, redo the capacitors on there, or I may just need to replace them. I need to have someone take a look at it. But, I mean, I had restored everything. I gutted the PC out of it, though, because I had MAME running in it, but now I needed it for parts for my DDR machine. So I'll have to rebuild it, and it'll be even better.
Now, I didn't really talk about it during my gaming week, but I still love my Burger Time 1-Up cabinet, although I promised my husband I'm not going to get any more 1-Up cabinets.
You sure? Because I saw that. So I was looking online. I noticed that they had marked the bunch down in April to $50. And apparently there's a few of the Star Wars ones left over in Roseville for $50.
Thank you, Alan. Put a smush cameo on. Sorry. Wow. Really? It's a space thing. We need less shit.
They also had a final fight in West Sac. So
we need less shit in this house, not more. Here's the thing:
$50, by the way.
Wow, you might want to get on that.
Where am I going to put that with all the pinball in my house?
You'll find a place. you don't need a bed. but I did say though, like I promised Alan, no more 1-Up cabinets. However, if they announce a Tron cabinet, I'll risk divorce. I'm just kidding. We're not kidding. That wouldn't happen. But I, Alan would have to understand and give me that one if they do a Tron arcade 1-Up cabinet at some point. And now that apparently Tron 3, like those, I'll believe it when I see a trailer or that they're actually like there's on set photos or something.
You know, like those rumors are back. It was supposed to be a remake though. Like I thought the whole thing with Jared Leto was supposed to be a remake, and I'll be very disappointed if it is because they left it open. Like it was supposed, like it was a really interesting storyline, and they're just like, nah, we're gonna reboot it.
Yeah.
Why?
I'll believe it when I see footage. But until then, but my hope is if they were to do a new Tron movie, they would want to like maybe release a cabinet to go with that. Although I don't know, maybe Disney will want to do their own thing. But I would love that.
What if we get Electronica back, Rob?
Now that I'm going to have all this time off work saved up, that trip to Disney World is happening when it's safe. I'm not going to be there tomorrow. But when the Tron ride opens and, you know, hopefully our world gets past COVID, I will be on that ride. I'm so excited. Pretty sure Bobby Blackwolf has already said he's driving down for that, too. Or I just committed him. I don't know. All right.
Are they bringing the Tron ride to Disney
World? Oh yeah, the one in Shanghai. They've been building that in Disney World for about a year. It's supposed to open next year, although I don't know how the timetable gets thrown off. So,
it looks very cool.
Yeah, for real. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Let's talk about Microsoft. And we know that Xbox and Xbox Game Studios has been growing and growing thanks to acquisitions. In fact, they were rumored recently as a possible suitor for Warner Interactive, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was the thing that was going around. So is Microsoft going to stop the acquisition of Game Studios? And the short answer is no. And this is in an interview with gamesindustry.biz that Phil Spencer, of course, the head of Xbox, did, saying, "We acquired quite a few new studios in a short amount of time, and we want to make sure that those studios are onboarded in the right way. As the head, Matt, and I were talking about it, we just wanted to make sure that we treated the incoming studios as full parts of the organization. They felt supported," and so on and so on. Goes on to say that the CEO of Microsoft, who is not Bill Gates... Okay, Bill Gates actually is very removed from that company at this point. But Satya Nadella, and I probably said his name wrong, I'm sorry, but he's the CEO of Microsoft, has not really given the sign that they should slow down acquisitions of studios. So they're just going to continue to onboard studios. And Phil Spencer says that the Game Pass subscriber base portfolio continues to grow. We're launching a new console. It was our biggest year ever on PC in terms of revenue. We have really strong support from the CEO and the chief financial officer, Amy Hood. And there's been no signal at all that we should be slowing down, but just to go at a pace that is maintainable for us as a leadership team. We're always out there talking to people, but it has to be the right opportunity. And this article I'm looking at as well reminds us that they were rumored, as I just mentioned, with the whole Warner Interactive thing going on. So there may be more in the future. So we'll see. And of course, it's really only a couple of weeks now until we really get to see the fruits of what that's going to bring us. Yes, we know a few of the Xbox games from that, you know, trailer peek a couple weeks ago, but we know we're going to be getting a real meaty look at what 2020 is going to look like for Microsoft in just a couple weeks on the 23rd, right?
Yeah, it's very shortly. I'm very excited to see what they have for their. Hopefully, the demos that they're going to be bringing are going to have PC versions as well, because I don't got no Xbox.
And for all we know, they may announce new acquisitions at that time. They don't necessarily have to announce it right when it happens. Look at what happened at that one E3 where they – remember, they had them all out on the stage. That was a really impressive E3. And they're like, we got this one and this one and this one and this one. It's like, damn. So it could be anyone. And I see in chat, DJ Rama S says, Microsoft needs to acquire a few Japanese studios. Seriously, that would be a gag. If Microsoft acquires a Japanese studio, that is going to be huge. You know, and I know a lot of people have their fan wank as to which studio they want to see acquired. But I think just if they were to get at all a Japanese studio, that would be a pretty big deal. So we'll see. Hype Mayhem in chat says, next up, Microsoft buys Sony, Nintendo, Disney, Activision, EA, the White House. Okay, I don't really see it going that far. But, you know, I think because we have other big gaming companies out there, like EA's buying a bunch of little things, Activision Blizzard buys a bunch of little things, and so forth. I don't think MS is going to get accused of antitrust violations by picking up a couple other studios. So we'll see. It's all about kind of how they handle it, I suppose. But they have, I think, a huge way they've also been kind of avoiding that talk is that they're putting Minecraft out on the Switch and PlayStation. So that is one way I think Microsoft kind of gets around that whole they're not allowing competition, because they're actually putting games on competitors' consoles. So
true. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what develops. It's going to be very fascinating when we get to July. Anyway, let's go back to a classic time, shall we? We're going to go back, take a step in time to the classic game of the week. And Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out, and you should acquire some knowledge about this particular game. Dark Sakura, what have you picked for the folks for the Classic Game of the Week?
I'm on week number 6, by the way.
I know, but now we can't see, because I brought the bump back with our makeover. We have the bumper again.
On.
All right.
I'll leave it on.
Yeah, leave
so
it on.
So anyway, the game that I've chosen is Breath of Fire, which I was surprised another one I haven't done before, but hey.
And just a little hiccup on the stream here because I forgot to load the B-roll. Sorry. So it's blank on purpose for a reason. But here we go. I got it. There we go. There should be.
All right. So again, it's Breath of Fire, which is a role-playing game developed by Capcom for the Super Famicom or Super Nintendo. And it was released in Japan April 1993. It could have been out for my birthday, but it came out on April 3rd. And then in the U.S., it was released on August 10th, 1994, so over a year later. And there's been other versions of it released, but I'll get into them in a moment. So it is Capcom's first traditional role-playing game, and it set the tone for future games because we have quite a few Breath of Fire games now. The character designs were done by Inafune Keiji. And music was done by Capcom's in-house sound team, Alf Lila. there was a re-release, like I said, in 2001. It was released for the Game Boy Advance with new save features and graphical enhancements, and the English version finally being released in Europe for the first time. And then it was released on the Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console, and now in 2019 we have a Switch version. So it is a fantasy story set in sort of a medieval time with a boy named Ryu. Ryu can transform into a dragon. He's one of the last members of this race that can transform into a dragon. And he's off looking for his sister, I guess, who is the other member of their race that can turn into a dragon. So he's not the only one. So on his quest, he finds other people who will work with him. And then he comes into conflict with the dark dragon clan. Oh my god. Which is an empire that wants to take over the world by bringing back a crazy goddess. And it was really well received. And of course, it had a sequel, Breath of Fire 2, in 1994. So, as far as the play of the game, it's basically two-dimensional sprites with a top-down perspective, and you move your character in four directions while navigating through the environments. You go from towns, dungeons, there's traps, there's monsters, and you have to do these story-based scenarios that will have you go into these areas and defeat enemies, and also interact with NPCs who are part of the plot. And so you keep bringing in different characters that have different spells as well as unique actions that they can perform. You can solve puzzles, you navigate some of the environments, but some of these people are going to bring better access to the game. And so you can have up to four members in your party at a time. And then, of course, you have, you know, your icon menus that you can let you use your stock and character information and shortcuts that you let you assign unused buttons so you can access things. Kind of like, you know, doing when I used to do all my macros on a controller for Final Fantasy 11. The random encounters are, you know, every few steps. It's a turn-based system in combat. So basically, you input the commands for each character, and then they are carried out in order of their agility rating. And so, basically, you just go through the game and beat the bad guy, save the world. And I'm not going to go too much more into the story about it. So, but it was developed by Capcom for the SNES. The designer was Kawano Yoshinori, and the producer was Fujiwara Tokuro. Who had also been the creator of the Ghosts and Goblins series. So of course, also, like I said, Inafune did the game's characters. It was you know, a pretty nice group of folks that worked on it. And then when it was localized to North America, Capcom USA didn't really have a lot of experience with text-heavy role-play games. It was actually Squaresoft, I think, that had gone, Squaresoft did the U.S. Release on it. And so it was marketed as from the company that brought you Final Fantasy. Not quite great there. But Capcom took the reins back in 2001 for the Game Boy Advance port. And had this intuitive play system and redrawn character portraits and the menu that works more like Breath of Fire 2, updated cutscene graphics. And then you could do temporary saves with a quick save feature. Capcom had announced their English version right before E3 2001. The game was very well received. On average, it was, I'd probably say in the 80 percentile, you know. It was modestly successful in the U.S., but very successful in Japan. Of course, the Super Nintendo version, it suffered from, and this is actually a quote from Play Magazine, flawed execution. Take it as you will. A lot of people liked Breath of Fire. I hate the U.S. artwork for it because it's just that general, let's make them look Western. Meh. So, whatever. Good game. Play it.
So, Can I confess something?
Do it.
I've never played it.
You want me to confess something else too?
What?
Neither have I.
Oh, really? You picked it as your classic game?
I did, because it deserves to be a classic game.
Yeah, okay, I know
a lot of people who love it. Dan is a fan of it.
Our chat room's really lighting up too. So they approve, yeah.
And so, you know, for that, just because I haven't personally played something, it doesn't mean that it's not a good game. You know, it's not worthy of being mentioned. You know, some
Halo.
Of the games I've done.
Halo.
Rob.
I had to. You left
I
me no choice.
I myself out for that one. Okay? Thanks to doing Halo, my mother could live in her house for another month. So.
I know. We're very thankful to everybody
Thank
who helped.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm going back to the cameras, just... by the way. Turning off the gameplay footage.
So this is my Dragon wig. It needs some love.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been worn in like a year, but I love this wig. It looks like, I think the color looks great on me.
And yes, and I am aware actually of what Bobby's saying in chat is that it's on Super Nintendo Online on Switch. Yeah, at least I knew the first one was there. I didn't realize both 1 and 2 were there. So yeah, maybe I will have to do like a playthrough at some point. Maybe, Darksoccer, you might have to join me. Maybe we could do a virtual like playthrough together.
The thing is that I think that, I don't remember if the first ones were, but I know later ones are RTS, and I hate RTS games.
Oh, no, not this one definitely doesn't look like it, just from the gameplay footage that was rolling in the background, yeah. So.
But, I mean, right now, I'm still, yeah, they're both, okay, they're turn-based good. It's just the later ones are RPS, and I hate RPS games, or RTS yeah. games.
I am Dale in chat. I hope I said that name right. I'm sorry. It's in a dark blue that's really hard to read. Sorry. Not going to spoil it, but for a classic game, the story was great. Play both games. It's great. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just as Darksoccer said, and I totally agree with, just because we don't get around to playing certain games doesn't mean they're not good. Sports games are a great example. Like, I think between the three of us, including Loki, there's very few sports games that we play. Not to say we don't play any sports games. I fucking loved Tecmo Bowl back in the day, and I still like NBA Jam. Is a lot of fun. You know, I like
hey,
the arcade.
You know what mine was?
Arcade
super high impact.
Game. Yeah, super high impact, right? But yeah. When it comes to Madden 2019, not so much. We don't really play those games. They're not bad games. They're just not the games we play, and that's okay. It's like music, right? I don't know shit about country western music. Well, unless it's Reba McEntire, but. You know, that doesn't mean it's necessarily all bad.
Oh, my exes live in Texas.
I mean, there is a lot of bad country. But you know what? There's a lot of bad pop music, too. And I like pop music, yeah. and there's a lot of bad pop music. So it's fine.
I grew up spending my summers in Dothan, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
I listened to a lot of country, but it's what introduced me to the original version of Black Velvet, which I love to this day.
Oh, nice. All right. Anyway, your classic game of the week, Breath of Fire.
Yay!
How we got from Breath of Fire to country music, only OLR knows. All right, we're going to do some rapid fire news. And nice thing, usually we'd be saying goodbye to Jamie about now, but Jamie's actually going to be with us all night long, changing out wigs.
I did a thing.
So
I got tomorrow off because I have a doctor's appointment that actually may have been canceled, so I don't know. So, yeah. And I'm still. I'm gonna keep this wig on for a while. I love this one.
Yeah, that's a good wig.
She's good. She's good.
Right. I wish. I hope somebody's been taking screenshots throughout the show so we can have a Twitter poll later to rate Jamie's wigs. All right. Anyway,
maybe I'll put some selfies up there.
That's a good idea. All right, moving on. We have some rapid fire news. So let's talk about some other news that's happening in the industry. Quickly ish. Mm-hmm. I say quickly, but it's OLR. Sometimes this segment goes on longer than the other news stories. It's whatever. Loki, why don't you start us off?
All right, so we've got a few new games coming to the Nintendo Switch Online collection. So for Super Nintendo, we're going to be getting Donkey Kong Country and Natsume Championship Wrestling. And then on the NES, we're getting the Immortal. I have not played the Immortal. The other two I've played, though.
Isn't that based on a movie or a comic, The Immortal? I feel like it is.
It looks like it could be. It's Will Harvey Presents The Immortal. I don't know.
I've seen a little bit of that game before, and it's I don't think I ever really played a lot of it, but I'll check it out on Switch Online. Of course I will. Why not?
Yep. And then we've got Halo 3 coming to PC on the 14th. So it's going to be a part of the Master Chief collection. So pretty neat.
I like how they've been adding to that collection piece by piece on PC. It's been very interesting because I've played it there. So it's interesting.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
All right. Limited Run Games is going to be doing a physical edition of the Castlevania Anniversary Collection. Now, many of you probably already own this collection because it's been out digitally for a little bit. But, you know, for the collectors, that's what Limited Run Games is for. And they announced on their own little streaming event they did earlier this week is that they are going to be putting out this collection of Konami Castlevania games for the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation 4. Castlevania Collection was originally released in May 2019, but this is going to be a limited physical edition, which is neat. You know, I mean, probably not for me, but I love that it's a thing that they do. Speaking of limited run games, they announced what, like 30 different physical editions that they're doing. So it's not just this. They're going to be doing Samurai Jack from Adult Swim Games. They're going to be doing Towerfall Ascension, To the Moon. That's a big one. Space Channel 5 VR is getting a limited run games edition, the PSVR game. The Grandia HD collection for Switch. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2. So, I mean, I know Dark Sakura, you and Dan are trying to do less stuff, but it's just a video game.
But we already have the game. We already bought it.
True. I think the most fascinating one on the entire list, Papers, Please. But the reason why it's fascinating, it's a Vita physical release. Yes, they're putting out Papers, Please with Vita. I think that's fucking rad. Garou Mark of the Wolves, the PlayStation 4 port.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? Super Meat Boy Forever. A Boy and His Blob, the PlayStation 4 redo. Shantae's Risky Revenge, and Extreme Sports. So there's a lot of stuff that Limited Run Games is doing. That must mean that their physical editions do very well. Very is a relative term, right? Well enough for them to keep going with more. So, neat. All right. Anyhow, moving on, one of the games I mentioned there was Shantae. And yes, the classic Shantae titles are coming to Nintendo Switch in the fall. Some of the earliest Shantae games, actually. The very first game, which I think Dark Sakura did as a game of the week sometime this year. I don't think it was that long ago.
I'm pretty sure that I did.
Yeah, it was originally released for the Game Boy Color in 2002. It is going to be released on the eShop at some point this fall. Don't know when. But it does also tie into Limited Run Games is also going to be putting that out. That's really cool. They will also, this is a trip. So not only are they going to be doing the Switch version of the game, they are going to facilitate a new run of cartridges for the Game Boy Color. So if you want to get like a legit Shantae, well, I mean, it is a repressing, but you know, still, that's pretty cool. And they are saying it's because, you know, Shantae's kind of built up a following that it didn't have when it originally came out. Shantae's Risky Revenge, also coming to Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. That originally was a DSi title, but they will be doing that. And again, limited run involved with that. So Shantae fans have a lot to be happy about. Insert the mandatory Shantae you stay joke. All right. What do we have from Dark Sakura?
We have some other stuff. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, which is fun, is getting version 1.2.0, released on the 16th, that has, July 16th, that is, has boss rush mode and some bug fixes. Just keep your eyes open for it. The director and writer for the Ace Attorney series, Yamazaki Takeshi, has left Capcom. He was with the company for 15 years, and he's quoted as saying, although leaving a company is always painful, I like to think of this as graduating. I'm truly glad I was able to make games and meet the Ace Attorney series at Capcom. And he's going to keep working in game development and looking for other challenges.
Well, best of luck to him. Maybe we'll get some type of new series that has similarities to Ace Attorney, yet different. All right.
Yet different.
Well, let's travel around the world and check out some games coming out a little sooner than that as we do some world release dates. And why don't we start in the U.S. with Loki?
So this week we've got Death Stranding coming out on PC, Rocket Arena on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town on PC and Nintendo Switch. We've got Dragon Quest Tact on iOS and Android. Super Hot Mind Control Delete on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And by the way, if you own a copy of the original Super Hot on any of those platforms, and not necessarily from, I think, one of the free services, probably Humble if you did get that, you get this for free. So that's pretty cool. So check your library. Ghosts of Tsushima on PlayStation 4. Death Come True on PC. And last but not least, Paper Mario, The Origami King on Nintendo Switch.
I think there's a couple of people looking forward to that, that's for sure.
I am looking forward to that, so assuming I can pry that Switch away from my kids and my wife.
I might check it out. It's hard to tear myself away from Animal Crossing, which I know I didn't talk a lot about my gaming week, but I'm back on Animal Crossing because I kind of enjoy the diving thing. It kind of like breathed a little new life, but I don't have the same concern Star Soccer had. Like, I don't have enough people that want to come visit to worry about. And my island is kind of a dump anyway, and like you can't make the dump look worse, so I'm not worried about it. But
you
I've
just
been
cover your beach in seaweed.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the diving mechanic. It's fun. I like collecting the wetsuits too. All right.
By the way, Rob.
Hmm.
I have a Pascal card, and if you want a poster, oh, cool. I'll send you a poster.
I think you have sent me one. You've been
no,
very
I
good
just
about
got the
me
Pascal
that.
Card.
Oh.
So
okay.
I don't think I said, and I got a Katie card too, so I'll send you a Katie poster.
Oh, that's fun. All right.
It'd be nice if she comes back in the game. Anyway.
Let's talk about Nintendo Switch releases coming out in Japan. So in Japan, we have Together the Battle Cats comes out in Japan this week. And I'm curious if that means finally we're getting our Laser Cats dream game. But I don't think this is actually that. But it does say this game features over 350 creepy, cute cat characters. You train and strengthen your cats through gacha games. Cat coins, tickets. Yeah. All right. Also coming out on the Switch, Code Realize Shirogane no Kisuke comes out this week, as well as a game called Indivisible is out this week in Japan. I think that's coming out other places, too. So that's the releases for the Nintendo Switch. Looking at the PlayStation 4, we have Indivisible is also out on PlayStation 4. And then Ghosts of Tsushima is also out this week on the same day as it is in the U.S., the 17th. And those are your big releases in Japan this week. How about Europe, Dark Sakura?
There's a few. On July 13th, we have Rocket Arena, also the PC version of Death Stranding. On the 16th, we have Paper Mario, The Origami King, Warhammer 40K Mechanicus, and also on the 16th, Ghosts of Tsushima, which I really am interested in, but backlog.
The struggle. All right.
The struggle is very real.
Every week we read the mailbag. I don't know if Dark Soccer remembers how to do it. It's been so long.
I can read, and we have one.
I know you know how to read, but I'm like, do you remember the password to the mailbag? It's been a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Have to. I have autofill.
Okay. All right. Well, if as a reminder, if you need the password to the mailbag, it's Loki is a butt. That's the password, okay? All right, anyway. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com is the place where you can send your emails every week, and it sounds like Dark Soccer has one to read for us tonight.
I do.
And I think crap. You might have hit your mute button trying to do it, yeah.
Yeah. So, funny hype mayhem. Ha, ha, ha. The password is 12345, the same as my luggage. Yay, Spaceballs. By the way, off topic, I saw Spaceballs the Mask. And I'm probably going to get it.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's a good one. I'd get that too. Send me
Hello,
the link.
Hello, LR. Okay. I'll have to find it again. One of the calmer parts of last week's episode was a debate about the price of next-gen games and whether AAA games have any right to move up to $70 from their previous MSRP of $60.
Hold on. Did the emailer say one of the calmer parts of the last episode? Was that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a commentary on our last episode, Loki.
This is what happens when I'm not here to babysit you two.
All right. Anyway, no, I don't know if you know about my friend online that passed away and COVID was suspected, but I really got angry about all that stuff last week. And I know you're angry too, because you're dealing with it too. So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just hard for me to think of my mother there by herself uninsured because of, before I make a point, let's get one thing out of the way. Buyable virtual currency, loot boxes, and gacha mechanics are in full price AAA games are absolute and total bullshit. Either get rid of that garbage or make that component of a game free to play. That nonsense aside, full price AAA games went up from $50 to $60 with the launch of the Xbox 360 all the way back in 2005. Well, in 2005, you could still get a candy bar for $1. Since then, the cost of everything has gone way up. The impact of inflation has been so significant that in order to match the overall purchasing power of $60 back in 2005, you would need about $80 today. So the price of games today has actually decreased significantly since 2005, even more so if you consider the fact that these days, almost every non-Nintendo game starts getting discounted mere weeks after its release. Hell, you can get Anthem for $5 right now. If an increase to $70 means that there's a greater chance we will be able to continue purchasing big-budget, story-driven AAA games, then I am honestly all for it. I'd rather pay a little more to have games on day one than see everything turn into a gacha loot box game as a service. What do you folks think?
And that echoes a lot of what I said last week. So, yeah.
I don't mind paying for things that are worth it. So
they're still going to do it, even if they charge $80 or $90 for the game. They're still going to have all those because they can get money from you both ways. Why not? They're going to do it. That's the thing. It's like, even though you're saying that games would have been equivalently the same amount or less money now than they were back when the Xbox 360 launched, we didn't have like a ton of DLC coming out for these titles. They weren't pushing that stuff like they were at the beginning of that generation as they are now. Like, I mean, hell, back in that generation, the very beginning, you still had cheat codes in games. Nowadays, you have to buy that as DLC. It's slowly been piecemealing, you know, stuff from the games, adding it to the cost. Yeah, your initial buy-in cost may be slightly cheaper if you account for inflation, but then you have all the other additional stuff on top of that in order to get the same experience you would have gotten back when that console originally launched.
I think, though, and this kind of briefly came up here in the email and so forth, is that the games industry in some ways is almost kind of like policing their own prices. And we talked about that a little bit at last week's show, is that, you know, video games can be like $10, you know, or they can be even cheaper than that on places like itch.io and other independent sites online, Steam and so forth, you know. But there's a lot of video games out there that are $10-$20. Heck, I just recommended a game at the top of the show that I think is more in the $20 price category. So there's all these different games that fall in these different price ranges. And what I mean by policing itself is, and the emailer brought up, you could get Anthem now for $5, because pretty quickly word got out that this game ain't worth $60. And they're having a hard time getting people to pay $5 for it, which is kind of sad for all those, you know, developers and people that spend a lot of time making the game. But at the same time, they kind of had it coming, the high-level executive decisions to change some of those things. And, you know, the fact that we all knew Anthem would end up being a games-as-a-service type of thing, and they tried to charge the full price and have all these other things going on. So I kind of feel like when word gets out, and it can impact the sales of games. And so the price of the game ends up having to, like, change itself. Whereas there's other games, a lot of Nintendo titles, that still charge full price to this day, and people pay it because they're worth it. Has Zelda Breath of the Wild ever gone on sale? Maybe for like Black Friday or a holiday sale, but outside of that, probably not. No need to.
It has, because I purchased it on sale, so I know it has.
But certainly you get the point I'm making, though. Like, it's rare, it's few and far between. They could still charge $60 for that game and probably get it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, and SJ100 Matt says it's dropped to maybe 40. Yes, you can. Sorry.
Okay. Also, I must say, as much as I enjoyed the classic game of the week last episode, I was a bit disappointed. It was included in Namco Museum Archives Volume 2, you said. It was a game not developed by Namco, you said. But sadly, it was not my favorite game from that collection, and the reason I thought nothing of dropping $20 on it day one. Game Freak's phenomenal Mendel Palace. Actually, I decided years ago that if for some reason I was ever in studio and asked to pick a classic game of the week, it would be that one. And here, we were so close. Rob, if you decide to buy Volume 2 in the future, I heartily recommend that you check it out. It's one of my favorite arcade-style games of all time. Have a great week, everybody. Aaron, YYR.
So just so you know, Dark Sakura, last week when you weren't going to be here, I switched out the classic game real quick, and I did Legacy of the Wizard because it had come up in that Namco collection discussion, and I owned that game when I was a kid, so I was talking about that. So I think YYR is a little disappointed because, as he says, also in that collection is Mendel Palace, but I didn't own that game as a kid. I'm not as familiar with that game. I can't talk off the cusp on that game as well, but who knows? You never know what might happen in the future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Maybe.
All right. Was that
it? I'm going to do E.T. Yeah, that was it.
I thought I saw one come in right at showtime.
When I just hit delete on the email, it was empty. That was the one that came in.
Okay, that's weird.
Somebody doesn't clean out the email
box. Yeah. All right. If we did accidentally miss anyone, we'll get to it. Because the thing I saw had an attachment anyway that's going to need to be looked at this week. So we'll come back to it. So not ignoring anyone on purpose, I promise. All right.
You'll have to check the trash.
Yeah, I'll check the trash because we might have just accidentally missed it. But I think there is one that I just noticed it right at 6 o'clock. So anyway.
I'll take a look.
Yeah, it's no biggie. If we don't, you'll know if you read it, you'll be like, oh, there's something in it that Rob needs time to look at. And I didn't have time before the show. So, all right.
Okay.
So if we kick it to next week, it's not a big deal. All right. Moving on. Let's get to some more gaming news. In the meantime, you can email us.
I found an email that I didn't read, actually. So,
okay. Do you want to read it? I think it's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Go for it.
I don't see any attachments on it. So, hey, OLR, not sure if this will be on your showroom this week. But this, it does have a link to it. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's all right. You can read it. It's fine.
All right. But this week was the GMTK Game Jam. It was started by the guy behind the Game Makers Toolkit YouTube channel and is now almost as big as Ludlum Dare. This year, 17,000 people registered and over 5,000 games were submitted at the end of the weekend.
Joined it. Almost. This close.
One of them is mine. It's called Momentum. It's a platform game similar to Celeste. Put out a link, which we'll check it out first. And if you want to share it, then that's fine. Anyone wants to look in. So this was my first proper game jam, and it was a stressful 48 hours, especially when I decided to ditch my first idea halfway through. I'm super proud of the game I built, though. Plus, it was nice to have a lockdown weekend where I didn't lie around doing nothing for once. I hope you're all doing well. OLR continues to be my port in this very stormy year. Elliot B.
Well, thank you for that. And congratulations on actually completing a game, unlike someone else on this panel who shall remain nameless.
Someone missed his opportunity.
Hey, at least you finished something. That's more than what I did.
I'm sorry.
This one, yeah. And I'm sorry. I saved all the emails that didn't look like they had been checked. So I apologize. I'm glad I went back and looked for it.
Dark Soccer and I have different ways of managing the email account, as in she manages it and I don't. but Bobby Shade Wolf in our chat room says, you do realize that game jams expect you to finish something by the deadline usually, right, Loki?
Hey, Loki could have gotten pizza.
I played by a different set of rules, okay.
I offered him pizza.
That's right. Oh, yeah, the pizza. Oh my!
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite.
Pizza.
That was one of my favorite in-jokes ever on this show. It's a contest.
Time to pizza.
One person is eligible.
I can even extend time to pizza because I can have it delivered to your house.
So
I will extend time to pizza for this year.
Elliot, here's the bummer. Thank you for emailing us and congratulations on your successful game jam. But here's the gag. Since I didn't see your email till just before we went on air, I haven't been able to play your game. So I'm sure it's great, but I can't comment on it further. But congratulations on completing that. And it does sound like there's a lot of people that participate in this game jam. And I'm not surprised, especially in quarantine time, that you have so many people that are participating in game jams. Hell, Loki actually almost did it. And he might have, at least put an idea down or something.
I did put an idea down. I didn't make anything, but I put the idea down because it was.
What was the idea? Now we want to know.
Well, first I have to make it sure it's the same game jam because there's like several game jams going on at the same time. So I think it was, if I'm correct, it was the one that was Out of Control, I think was the theme. Yes. Okay. So it was. So it was Out of Control was the theme, and I was inspired by this game I played on the Ouya called No Breaks Valet. So the whole premise was going to be a racing game, but it's all gas, no brakes. So that was going to be the game. It's a racing game the way I play racing games, which is I don't use the brakes at all. I just smash into the walls and stuff. And so not so much a racing game, but kind of like a puzzle game where you'd have to get to your house or something like that without killing yourself, which means colliding with another car. But of course, there'd be collateral damage with, like, you know, pedestrians on the street and stuff like that. So,
are you sure you aren't describing Roundabout? Because I'm kind of...
No,
did you ever play Roundabout with the limo?
I did play Roundabout. That's okay. It's just different type of game. Yeah, I know what you're talking about there.
Shane has spent years trying to convince me that game is funny when I'm like, it's actually more awkward than it is funny.
It's okay. It was an okay game. I played it, but like, no. Cue
a text message
like,
in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, No Breaks Valet was the one I played because that was kind of fun. You had to park a car, but you... that one you could use brakes, although I didn't figure out that there was a brake button for the longest time. But you try to park your car in specific spaces, and then one of them has no brakes, and you're just smashing cars in this this parking lot. It's kind of funny. Yeah, that was my inspiration, but I didn't. I'm like, that's gonna take too long. Not gonna have the time to actually dedicate. I was gonna only get about like half of the time in the jam, anyways, to even work on anything, and probably less than that. So I just didn't even start it.
Elliot in chat says, Loki, that would have totally fit the theme of GMTK Jam. That was the name of it this year. The theme was Out of Control. So this is the same game jam.
Yeah, it was. I follow their channel. I watched a lot of their videos and stuff. So
play Elliot's game. It's the link is in chat. I'll read it because it's not too hard to remember. Paw Prints. So pawprints.itch.io. Everybody knows that site, right? pawprints.itch.io/momentum is the place to go to check out Elliot's game, which he said was a little bit kind of inspired by Celeste a little bit or similar.
And there's a lot of a lot of these game jams are starting to mix together. There's another one that's Kenny. They're doing a Kenny Land. So Kenny is the guy, he does a lot of CC0 assets out there. So he's very famous in like the indie community as far as providing free art assets. So he has a jam coming out that's going to be using his art assets. Then there's the Codeless Jam, which is being done by our local, I don't remember what they're called now, but the Sack Gaming Collective or something like that. So they have
the Developers Collective. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing one that's, it's a game jam that you have to use the visual scripting tools. So like Bolt and I guess I'm trying to think what the UE4 stuff is. Their blueprints and stuff like that. So you have to use that, which that's kind of a learning curve in itself. But that's coming up. I all of these start crisscrossing. Like I thought that the one game jam was the Kenny jam for like this time around too. So. I don't know. But yeah, it's fun. I just wish I had the time. Just don't. Yeah. It needs to be longer. Like, you know, like I wish I could get in on the progressive game jams that the Sacramento group does, because it's basically just getting together with a bunch of people like for 5 hours every month or week or whatever. I think it's month. And just starting to like collaborate that way over a long period of time versus like being able to have to cram in 48 hours. I can't.
Yeah, that's just like having like a regular D&D game, basically. But instead of playing a D&D campaign, you're working as a group to create a new game. Yeah, that fits more like your lifestyle where, you know, you have to worry about raising kids and stuff and you can't exactly pull, you know, 48 hours straight and all that. So
I wish I could.
I get it.
That would be great.
All right. Well, let's move on with the show. We do have some more news we want to get into here. Thank you so much for the email, Elliot. And I hope a lot of our listeners choose to play your game, which you got in chat there a moment ago. And I will play it later this week. Promise. Okay. Let's move on and get into some other news. And Loki, I think you're going to start us off with this story.
Yes. So this is interesting. So there's this brand new Tetris mobile game, I guess, that is... I guess it's a brand new show that they're doing where you compete with other players to earn money by playing Tetris. So every night, I guess, at 7:30, there's a show that's hosted by this actor, Milan Baird, in New Zealand. And players will fight each other for a $5,000 daily prize pool. And you play the current cities that you play in, Auckland, Perth, Moscow, Berlin, London, New York City, and Los Angeles. So whatever city you're closest to would be the city that you're competing in. And the app is, I guess, free on Android and iOS. And it's called Network Tetris. And Network with the E is a 3. You can try your chance to get money, or what's actually probably going to happen is the people that are really good at Tetris are going to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, somebody's going to cheat it or something. I wonder.
Oh, they're not going to cheat it, but it's just going to be like you're going to have those guys that are.
Does anyone know if Kevin DDR has found this game yet and attacked it? I'd be so curious. So, because I know he's very, very, very good at Tetris and could probably whoop a lot of people.
It is actually, it's just the official Tetris game. Mm-hmm. The company that makes it, though, is Network Inc., which is, just look for Tetris.
So it's HQ Trivia meets Tetris 99, basically?
I guess, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about, now, I don't always need to talk about Ninja's every step and move as big news, because I personally don't really follow the guy, just because, and I'm not shading him, it's just I follow other people that I just know and so forth, that I kind of keep it around like a similar circle to what I follow on Twitter. But I'm not an idiot. I know that Ninja does have a lot of people that do follow him, and wherever Ninja goes to stream is probably going to lead a big crowd with him. Now, he was on Mixer, as we all know, and Mixer is not going to be anymore pretty soon. And Ninja turned down basically the opportunity to go right over to Facebook Gaming. And I don't blame him, because he wants to probably, Facebook Gaming sucks. Probably wants to see what kind of money they're willing to give him first. So anyway, some reports that are showing up this week is that now this is kind of a this is coming from an esports consultant's Twitter account. Take it with a grain of salt, but it isn't outside on the plausibility scale. It ranks high. So Ninja says they are in negotiations with streaming platforms, and no exclusive deal has yet been signed. But I'm like, how many streaming platforms are there that are left? Twitch, which he was with before, YouTube, and Facebook Gaming.
We don't count that last one.
And I don't count Flopbook Gaming. I'm sorry. That would be a horrible decision. Like, but I could go off again, but I'd just be repeating myself from the last several weeks. Friends, don't let friends stream on Flopbook Gaming. But Ninja just, you know what? If they want to pay him tons of money, then Ninja's willing to go there, it sounds like. It'll just see what happens. In the meantime, Ninja started a YouTube stream. And so it was just kind of like, let's see what kind of numbers I can pull on YouTube just, doing a stream. And apparently 160,000 concurrent viewers showed up, although it did drop down to 120,000 people. But I doubt that many people have ever listened to OLR in the world. So that's still a really big number of people to be pulling in for one of your streams. So that's pretty big. Who knows where he'll end up. And then there's always been those rumors about some type of like new streaming platform. But seeing as those rumors also said we'd have an announcement by now, I'm sure those rumors were just full of crap. But we'll see what comes of this, because, again, although I don't think it's necessarily worth reporting on this guy's every move and step, he does carry a big audience, and it is going, if he does sign with Flopbook, it's going to be a pretty big deal. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. So, Tiger Claw says there's others too. There's Smashcast.tv. Now, who knows if these companies could afford Ninja though. However, then with an up and comer like a Smashcast, I don't know this company's financials, their investors, but let's say you have a startup, something you can start to negotiate with Ninja is a percentage of the stake in the company. You know, like an episode of Shark Tank, right? You get Ninja to join your up-and-coming thing for a 10% stake in the company, and as his exposure helps up your total number of viewers, then your total valuation of your company goes up. So it's like that stock he's holding goes up and up and up, basically. So that could be an interesting thing to leverage with a newer company. So we'll see. So, all right. ActDef says GFM cast is lucky if we get more than three concurrent viewers. GJ Rama S says, I feel ya. And you know what? I tell all the podcasters in the world that I know this is that as even if there's just one person there, that's still one person that wants to tune in to hear to what you have to say. And also sometimes it's about, you know, cause we were in those levels for years and years and years. And sometimes it's about getting the group together to talk about, to just hang, to hang as a group and talk about the things that you enjoy and that. I'd like to think we'd still be doing OLR even if we were only getting seven people here like we used to in the old days. So, huh?
But anyway. Then they're going to miss all this wig action.
That's right. Those 120,000 people.
I'm putting on the fashion show today.
Those 120,000 people, they might be seeing Ninja, but are they seeing wigs? I don't think so.
Are they seeing all this? Anyway,
DJ Rama S says, sometimes I do wish we'd get big numbers, but you know what? When me, Mako, Ichigo, and Ari do a show, it's just freaking fun and I love it. And you know, I've said this before, like, I feel like our moment has probably come and gone where we would have been one of those shows that has hundreds of thousands of people watching. And you know what? I'm at peace with it because when hundreds of people watch you, that's when all of your movements get overanalyzed. And that's when, you know, people will dig back in the archives and find some shitty thing from this show 15 years ago and try to cancel me over it and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, sometimes having a small group, it's not such a bad thing. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on, shall we? I think, where are we at now? It's Dark Soccer. This is yours, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so long since I've done a show. All the way through. Anyway, how about some Amazon stuff? Their MMO title, New Earth, got delayed. They had this whole, like, new entire world thing MMO. And it was supposed to set in sometime at this point. It was actually supposed to be released, I think, in March. And then it was delayed until August 25th. And now their studio director, Rich Lawrence, is saying they're delaying it until spring 2021. And the reason is from different responses to the game's alpha reviews. And the developers are trying to make sure that the most devoted players have loads of middle and end game experiences. That is a quote. And so as compensation for this, there's going to be a beta for a limited time starting August 25th. There'll be a beta sign up coming later on with those who pre-ordered the game getting first access. And so you can look into that and order it if you're, you know, I mean, if you've got the pre-order, then you'll be able to get in on the beta. And honestly, I commend them for listening to the reviews and for taking all of that into account because I would rather, and while I have probably zero interest in playing it, I would rather that they listen to the feedback and put time and effort into a quality release.
Well, and as Questbuster says in chat, after what happened with Crucible, I don't blame him. That was a train wreck. And yeah, Amazon's track record with gaming for all the hype that, you know, oh my gosh, Amazon's got a game studio company. This hasn't been a great year for them and this type of news. So even though this delay will probably inevitably be a good thing for the lifespan of the game, It isn't a good thing for Amazon Game Studios. Look, now, at the same time, you look at Amazon as an entire company, and someone like Jeff Bezos has like one of those rooms that Uncle Scrooge has where
garbage.
He just who can dive off of the diving board and just swim in the money pit of money. I'm not exactly concerned for Amazon's financial stability, but it's still probably not a great look for the company. So, anyway, as we're on our Amazon-owned Twitch feed. But
I'm looking at you.
Yep. All right. Moving on. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of odd. So we just got done talking about a game show for Tetris. Now there's a reality show for The Sims. Now, this is not what you might think it might be.
Please say they speak Simlish.
They do not speak Simlish. So this is a little bit along the lines of like a almost like that Lego show that they had not too long ago. It's about building stuff with The Sims. So it's called The Sims Sparked, and it's supposed to premiere actually on the 17th, so that's this week. And it's supposed to be with contestants creating characters, worlds, and stories in The Sims 4. And with that, I guess they have like a judges panel, which will judge, you know, them and everything about on the creations that they make and everything. I don't know. It's interesting. It almost looks a little bit like Project Runway or something like that, you know, where they're just like building different things. And in fact, I think they even have parts where they're building clothing for their characters and stuff. So it's different, that's for sure. But if it's anything like Lego Masters or whatever, where they focus on the drama, I hate that. I know maybe reality TV is just not for me because it's always focusing on drama, but like I love competition shows, but I hate when it's like a reality competition show. I just would like the competition without all of the drama thrown in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to be a bit of a mess, but I still think Dark Sakura should think about applying because, I mean, Dark Sakura is very talented when it comes to The Sims, and she has wigs. She stepped away, so she can't comment at the moment, but
yeah.
I'm still going to encourage that.
So apparently the judges that are on the panel for this first season, they have YouTube creator Kelsey Impeshi. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Sims voice actor Taylor Parks, and I guess Dave Sim Guru Ninja Itoki, and I guess they're gonna have a producer as well for Maxis. I don't know. It says the contestants are our various online personalities, which I guess have a connection to the series. It's kind of similar to how Lego Masters was, where they have
Was that their judging panel you just read off? Is like.
Yes.
Wow, that's okay. Interesting. So YouTube influencers are judging this. Hey, Dark Sakura, we think you should go on The Sims reality show. And
what?
There's a Sims reality
Why?
Show where because you're good at The Sims.
It's about making stuff for
and
The
could,
Sims. So,
you could make our show famous.
Okay. Are they going to pay me?
I love how if you win.
So
is it like the Lego Builders thing?
Yes, it is,
sort of,
actually.
Yeah. So apparently it's pretty short. They said The Sims Park, it's a joint production between TBS and BuzzFeed multiplayer, and all four episodes are going to be online on Monday after they air, or the Monday after they air on television. So, neat, I guess. I don't know. Not really interested in The Sims, but I don't know. Some of the people I watch on YouTube, like the guy Call Me Kevin or whatever, would be more interesting to see on this show than some of these creators, I think.
Okay. And I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, but I think I read that as Itach is an art. Says the best line for Dark Sakura competing in this show. Love your hair. Hope you win.
Yeah.
Which is a drag race, man. Yeah.
Yep. For the record, the wig that I'm wearing now, as some of you may remember, my hair was actually this color before.
Mm-hmm.
I got this wig at DragCon 2 years ago, actually. My buddy JJ, also known as the Queen Miss Patsy Declined, got me this wig.
It's your lightning wig. You look like lightning. I agree with chat. You look like lightning in that wig.
Okay.
So, love it. All right.
Unless they have a speedrun competition for killing the Sims in this game, I don't see.
I could see the Darksoccer
anymore.
Darksoccer could design like a murder house, and I think that would be. She could be the spooky contestant. Like, well, I was going to say Sharon Needles, but we don't talk about her anymore. So spooky, like, I don't know who's spooky in the Drag Race.
How about Elvira?
Oh, perfect, and Elvira.
She's been on
Elvira is a bio queen. Let's be real. She's like,
yeah,
everybody says Drag Race has never had a bio queen on it. They've had one on the judging panel. Not that they shouldn't have contestants on the show too, but they've had one on the judging panel several times. Elvira. So
yeah. Well, right. And Michelle Visage. I mean,
yeah, true. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about when you want to make big changes to your character in a game like World of Warcraft, you've had to pay a fee before. If you want to make changes, like you want to change the race or the gender or what have you, you have to pay a fee to Activision Blizzard in order to do that. However, they just had like a little press. They had like a little hour long kind of live stream about World of Warcraft Shadowlands. And one of the things that they announced is that they are actually going to be removing the $15 fee to change the gender of your character. And they're going to say it's going to be similar basically to like the barbershop. If you go in and get the haircut, you know, so you can change your gender easily without that money being spent if you want. And it seems like part of the reason here, there was an interview that happened with Eurogamer, and the executive producer behind Shadowlands, John Haidt, said that the fee was not sending the right message, but that they also can't fix it through a hot fix. And they're also talking a little bit about this new character that's in Shadowlands called Pelagos that many are interpreting is a transgender character in WoW because they're saying aspirants are able to choose a physical form that represents their true self. Pelagos, who presented as a woman in his mortal life, chose to be a man in the Shadowlands. So there's an interesting kind of like parallel there about becoming like your true self and so forth. And so maybe they felt, I'm assuming, I'm kind of filling the gaps, that maybe if there are some players, and let's be real, World of Warcraft's been out for 15 plus years. And maybe there's some people out there that with their characters can maybe relate to a situation like Pelagos. They don't want to put a $15 fee so that you can change the gender of your character. So the rare story about removing a microtransaction. How about that?
Now especially, I've seen everything.
Especially from a game that already had a monthly fee. So that's pretty
I think
cool.
It's a good step toward being inclusive.
It is, and it's neat to hear that they have that storyline in Shadowlands, and I'm only refraining from talking much more about it because I'm going to be honest, I haven't followed World of Warcraft as closely in quite a while, so I don't want to like fuck up or misrepresent something. But you know, kind of what I'm reading about it, it does sound like they're exploring some themes in the game where maybe they've been told they could have explored a long time ago. So I know
I'm
some
still
things
not going back to WoW.
I don't see myself visiting it anytime soon. But I can still say I'm glad it's happening for the people that are still there. Cause I know plenty of people that still love and appreciate World of Warcraft and will probably be thrilled that this is there. So yay. All right. Moving on. Yeah. Sia Tiberian chat says $15 is a microtransaction. I need a bigger piggy bank. Good point.
Remember, they're all transactions.
I know.
They're all taking money out of your pocket.
You know what they're really calling it, though. All right. Anyhow, let's get into that was our last scheduled story. So this is the listener roundtable. If you want to bring up any additional comments or questions that we haven't addressed on the show yet, you can bring that up in our chat room here. Okay. Wow. Hype Mayhem was ready to go with a comment there. Let me read through this. Excuse me, let me read through this here. And then I'll ask Loki, of course, and Darksoccer if they have any last-minute stories in a moment. But first, Hype Mayhem says, this primarily applies to PC gaming more than consoles. Since PC gaming is pretty much digital only, physical releases have gone the way of the 8-track, and games can often get delisted for XYZ reasons, I see PC gamers having two options. Either buy up any games that look interesting and hedge against the possibility of missing out due to delisting, but backlogs get insanely huge, or keep purchasing and backlog is reasonable, but run the risk of missing out on buying a game. So all that being said, which camp do you folks find yourselves in and why? I'm going to invent a new camp because that's what I do. This illustrates this situation you're describing illustrates the importance of preserving video game history and why we need websites like archive.org that are exploring about preserving old video games. Because honestly, if you go into their library, it's kind of the reverse of what you're talking about. It's not necessarily things that were digital and got delisted. It were things that were physical that you can no longer find anymore, or that don't really run on current computers because the software has changed. So I think that preservation of games is super important. And I don't necessarily believe in filling up a gigantic backlog that, like, you know, I'll never get through. I just want to see that the old games get protected. So that way, you know, if I do think of a game 20 years from now that I want to show someone else's kid, because I'm not going to have my own, but if I want to show someone else's kid this game that I used to play, I want to know that there will be a place like archive.org or something like that where I can pull up the game and show it to somebody. You know what I mean? So yeah. I love Archive for the old game stuff, you know, able to pull up old Dr. Brain games on there and some of the old edutainment games from the Apple days. So, and it's not just about like, oh, I want to play all these games for free. It's a nostalgia trip. It's remembering things. It's the equivalent of looking at an old magazine in a library. You know what I mean? Like, is the magazine going to go out of business because I looked at an old copy in the library? I don't know. Anyway, so that's my kind of take on it. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that. Darksoccer,
no,
you're a big game collector of sorts, I suppose. Like, is the concept of digital collection important to you, or?
Lately, if there's something that I'm really into, I think I would have a physical copy, and I would have done that for Animal Crossing, but I had pneumonia when it came out. I got the digital copy. I'm not, I guess, as much into it as I used to be, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Just, it doesn't seem as important, especially now since I'm, I guess, trying to downsize.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
Well, although, I mean, we're
and
not
I might
selling anything.
Downsize a kitty if he doesn't shut the hell up over there. All right.
I cannot hear the smooshie.
Oh, really? He's being louder than he usually is. All right.
And I miss picking him up against his will.
He misses you too, Aunt Jamie. All right. Anyway, let's see if there's any. The chat's like, oh, now I hear smush, because earlier, I don't know if you heard it, but Stella was in the background at Loki's house making some noise, and the chatters could hear that.
Midna's fucked off somewhere. She's probably sleeping.
Midna doesn't usually scream on cam, though, right? I don't remember.
No, and
that.
she also though has a very melodic meow.
I like this comment in chat or question. Miltonius Games in chat says, "I've been getting into novels set in video game universes, Warcraft, Halo, so forth. Have any of you ever gotten into any video game content set outside of the video game format? Shows, comics, etc."
I read a lot of those Warcraft books, the World of Warcraft ones, that were, like, I read Thrall, and I read the war with the well, and fuck, why can't I think of the name? Illidan and his brother, and Illidan being stupid.
I know what you're talking about. It's the lead into Cataclysm, right?
No, this was like the lead into like the whole of everything.
Oh, okay.
When all the demons popped up and were stupid. And then I read the book with holding what's his face on trial, and I mostly read it because of Sylvanas, you know, meeting back up with her sister and talking about trying to kill what's his face. I can't remember his name either because I hated him. Everyone hated him during Cataclysm.
Garrosh?
Yeah, Garrosh.
Yeah.
God, my brain is just not like working for names.
That's okay.
For other things, I've read some of the Supernatural books. I've got some old Doctor Who books from the 80s. When I get into a fandom, I get into a fandom. It's just like reading all those Star Wars books. I haven't read any of the older ones, but I've read the some of the newer ones. I read the Phasma book. I've read a few of the others. I want to read the Leia book. It's on my list. So, yeah.
I have a couple answers for this as far as like games and other things. When Pokemon first came out, I used to love the anime, the original OG anime. I loved Pokemon. Of course, it was all the dubbed ones that we had here in the U.S., but still, I love that. But
my Japanese, remember?
What's that?
Movie in Japanese, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. But the other thing was when I was really younger, and I don't know if people will remember these. Some people will, but they had these books that came out, and I could get them at like Walden Books or something, but they were the Worlds of Power books where they took video games, right? FX9, I think, was the shadow name. It, that wasn't really the guy that wrote them, because it's on Wikipedia, and it kind of gives the whole story that somebody else really wrote them under that name. But there were games, or excuse me, books based on things like Blaster Master had a book. I remember Simon's Quest had a book, which was weird because it was like you had an adventurer that was with Simon. Metal Gear had a decent book from what I remember too. They weren't giant books. They were like, you know, they were young adult books, so that they were made for like 12-year-old, you know, gamers. And they were like, you know, only like yay thick and about 100 pages. So you could get through them pretty quickly. But they were good for somebody who, you know, at the time games were a very like nerd thing and very niche thing. It was kind of neat to see them cross over into books because you didn't see that a lot. Ninja Gaiden had one too. I remember that. That had a really good book.
Actually, there's another series of books that I actually went out and found translations for.
Hmm.
One of them was the Silent Hill 2 novelization.
Oh, I didn't know it had one.
Which was really freaking good. I have a PDF of it. And the Catherine books.
Hmm. Okay, you guys are lighting up round table tonight. Hold on, I got a couple other comments, then we'll get to last minute stories. SG100 Matt says, dropping this GoFundMe in here for saving the New Jersey Arcade 8 on the Break, which I've been to before. Rob Roberts approved. Which is having a hard time paying off its taxes due to the pandemic, I think we all know. The Break has been around for several decades and has become a staple in the music game community. Thankfully, it hit its initial goal, but the arcade is not reopening anytime soon because of the recent surge in cases. Any links to the GoFundMe, which is in chat for those of you participating live. If you're on the podcast feed, I'm sure if you just search for GoFundMe and On the Break, you'll find it. But shout out for that. Going to another...
I'll link it on my Twitter.
Thank you. Going to a tweet from Pixel Pacas, who tweets us saying, I'm sorry, not a tweet, a comment in chat, but Dark Soccer just mentioned tweeting, so I got confused. Pixel Pacas says, have you folks attended any digital conventions yet? I felt like the concept was a bit silly, but just got out of FujoCon, which is the YaoiCon, basically, and it was so fun. They had academic panels, games on tabletop simulator, and themed fan meetups on Discord. Well, Bobby Blackwolf drops the cheap, obvious plug in there that Vog showed up at a digital convention this weekend, which sadly I mentioned earlier in the show. I've had some personal issues. I was hoping to contribute a video before those personal issues even popped up, but it's making videos is a lot of work. Bobby did a very good job on that, and I just had some conflicting priorities, especially with a lot going on in my day job leading up to that. But anyway, I had full on planned to, oh, I'm going to be there live when it debuts and I'll participate as well. I'm sure Bobby and the rest of you understand why I didn't do that. But I did see he did post the video early to our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. If you're a subscriber here at Vog Network on Twitch and you have your Discord linked to Twitch, that's very important. If both those things are true, then you get access to a super secret subscriber chat. We don't fill it up a lot. But like a couple weeks ago before the new stuff showed up at OLR, I posted some sneak peeks of the new stuff at OLR. And then Bobby posted his panel early for people to see. So technically, Vog Network was a part of that. But because of my personal situations, I did not participate with that convention. I did a professional convention for work. Work paid for me to go to a virtual convention, which had a lot of on-demand seminars for the field that I'm in. And I thought it was pretty cool. You know, very informative talks. There were things you could go to live. You could ask questions and interact with the speakers, which, you know, for my industry was very good for learning and so forth. What I also thought was really interesting was that they had this section. There was like these round tables, and you could sign up and say, I want to have a round table session on this. and then like up to like five other people could come sit at your table, and then it would be like, go to this Zoom chat, and now you can have a roundtable chat on this particular thing. And I thought that was really cool, because this company that was putting it on, I think, has done virtual shows before, and it shows, because they had a lot of interesting ideas like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. I full-on plan on doing Dragon Con virtually, because I'm sure as many of you know, Dragon Con was officially canceled this week, which is sad, but at the same time is necessary. So I'm sad to see it not happen, but I think it's pretty cool they're going to be doing a virtual one, and I full-on intend to participate. I hope I'll be asked to participate as a panelist on one of the tracks, but I realize they're going to have a limited amount of space. It's not going to be as flowing as the convention itself is, so I'll be happy just to participate with that whole thing. So, yeah. She-Hulk 10 is pointing out Kaiju Con going on right now, heading there after the show. Bobby linked his panel there. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's available to all. Bobby says, yeah, I don't like doing pre-recorded material. I have been wanting to, for a while, get into more like video on demand type of stuff. But obviously, it's kind of getting over the mountain of, I don't have the time. I'm really trying to make time. But obviously, some of these scenarios that keep coming up are pushing me back a little bit. But I'm going to try and do a little more of that type of stuff. So we'll see. But that video he did was like almost an hour. That's a lot of content. That's very, very good. So, all right. Anyhow, let's get into some last-minute stories. Loki, I don't know if you have anything for us here.
I have one.
Oh, do you?
Then
why not Dark Sakura first? Go ahead.
Okay. This looks like something that was more recently related. I actually just found the article on this one. The Sony has a patent now hinting to cloud-based backwards compatibility. I don't know if that's old news or what, but I'm looking at these patent drawings, and it's pretty interesting.
No, but I'd heard this rumor that that's how they were going to do it. So this patent just seems to kind of light up that rumor a little more.
Yeah, the patent appeared on Japan's platform for patent information website. It was filed on July 2nd. And of course, it is in Japanese, but there is a comment on it translated. Another trend growing in this industry relates to the development of cloud-based gaming systems. Such a system may include a remote processing server that is configured to execute a game application, receive input from a user, and communicate with a local thin client configured to display an image on a display. Meaning that it's got like an illustration of a user climbing like a step to get to a different, you know, type of gaming system. Like the illustration they have on here shows it looks like a PS4, no, sorry, a PS3, because it looks like a Foreman grill. And so in another image, it's basically showing the various input selects with all the models of PlayStation going back to the first one. And then going on to another readout for the display where you can pick like the games pertaining to that particular system. There's also, of course, a little blank box on there where the PS4 would go. It's sort of hinting that this is going to be, since the fact that PS5 will support the top 100 PS4 games, and that all of the new PS4 games after July are certified to be PS5 compatible. So that could be a thing.
That part had been discussed before about the whole like games after a certain point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's making me think that that's why there's no icon. I mean, it's literally like a cutout square, you know, with little dashes around it that don't show anything for PS4. So I guess that's maybe a placeholder for working on backwards compatibility for some of the earlier PS4 games. Who knows?
By the way, and I don't know if this is something Loki had planned for last minute stories. Sorry. On a tangent, we didn't talk about it this week, but the PlayStation 5 box art was released, like what the games are going to look like. And it
looks like a game.
It's the PlayStation 4 box in new colors, which, you know, I know there's a lot of negativity on the internet about that, but I'm like, honestly, the PlayStation 4 box was the PlayStation 3 box in different colors. So it's
the branding works. Why deviate?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you could the PlayStation 3 ones are black, the PlayStation 4 ones are blue, and now the PlayStation 5 ones will be white. Like it's and you will be able to see them when they're sitting on the shelf. And fine, great. So I don't
for those who
go ahead.
I'm sorry, for those who are in chat, I'm actually linking a picture of that menu translation. So I thought it was really interesting.
Huh.
It's out there. Look, if people want to find the information, you'll just want to go to look up the Japanese patent website, and it'll be on there.
All right. Well, if that's it for Dark Sakura,
I have another.
Oh, wow! Go for it.
Sony is delaying the Monster Hunter movie until 2021. Well, sorry, 2021.
Forgot that was even coming out.
Yeah, it's been really. It's set to release April 23rd, 2021, and it's going to have some Resident Evil people in it, like Mila.
Because so, same director, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And she's kind of pissed about them trying to reboot Resident Evil. Just saying.
But, I mean, like, probably because she wasn't asked to be in it, and that's always a little bit. Yeah. It kind of stings when, like, you know, you are not asked to be in the reboot of something, but sometimes...
Maybe it'll be more like the games.
You know what, though? But you look at, like, the reboot they're doing for Candyman, and obviously all we've seen is that trailer. The movie should have been out by now, and I'm not big on, like, you know how I feel about horror movies, but Candyman's kind of cool, and I do love the fact...
that looks so badass.
The new one has the guy that used to play Candyman in it still.
Yeah.
I think the Tony Todd, right?
I think that's awesome.
I think that's awesome too. So when
isn't it produced by Jordan Peele?
I think he's a producer, yeah, but I don't think he wrote it or anything. Yeah. But yeah, he's a producer. So
But if he's gonna put his money behind it, it's gotta have some quality.
True, true. And the trailer was great. So
I would see that.
I'm trying to think of other things where the talent was or was not asked to be a part of it. Like, somebody was just commenting on it recently that they were kind of hurt that they weren't asked to be in it, but they were glad to see that it was still going. I can't remember what it was. Sorry, I know that's it makes for a terrible story, but, you know, there's things like that that come up once in a while.
Yeah.
So, DJ Rama...
That's it for me.
DJ Rama S talking about the Resident Evil saying the reboot is supposed to be a lot closer to the games. And I think Silent Hill, they were talking about possibly doing that too, but I think that's really, really rumor, great assault type of thing. All right. Well, I don't think Loki had any last minute stories, if I heard him right. So
nope.
I think we're about the time to wrap up the show. Thank you guys so much for participating with our show tonight and listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Whether you were here live or on our podcast feed, we really appreciate you guys sitting down with us every week and spending, you know, if you've gotten this far in the show, and that means you've made it close to 3 hours with us. So I hope we made your day go by a little faster, whether you're working at home or out exercising outdoors or maybe in the workplace taking precautions, because I know not everybody can work from home right now. I hope we're making your day go by a little bit quicker. And thank you so much for making us a part of your week. Really, really appreciate it. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all again. Obviously, we've been getting kind of the trickle of announcements that would have been at E3. We're kind of getting that trickle through the coming weeks. And in a couple weeks, we're going to get a lot of news about the Xbox. So that's going to be very, very exciting. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, yikes, then we don't have anything. So a nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, like iTunes, or just recommending us by sharing a link to our page on Spotify or what have you, that goes an awful long way. So thank you so much to everybody that helps us spread the word. With that, it's time to get into final thoughts. I'll start tonight. My final thought is I'm going to play more of that CrossCode, or the game whose name I can't remember, but it's a good game and it's a good throwback to Super Nintendo stuff. So I'm going to play some more of that this week, and I'm going to play Elliot's Jam game and probably lots of other stuff this week too. It's as much as quarantine sucks and I miss interacting with real people, I miss my weekend trips to San Francisco, I miss my nights out downtown, it's given me a chance to play a lot of video games, so I'll be doing that. Loki, how about you?
Well, it's just gonna be working this week, and maybe I'll get some game dev time in there as well. We'll see.
And last but certainly not least, here for the whole show tonight, Dark Sakura, your final thought. Your unmuted final thought, please.
Sorry. Okay. 8 weeks total. And I'm not going to be doing this again anytime soon because it's hot. And I have been sitting here smelling the pizza that Dan ordered that arrived right after the start of the show, and I have not eaten any of it.
Girl, just turn your cam off and go to town.
No, I'm a professional bitch.
All right, I appreciate it. We know. We
love you, mean it. Love you, right. Mean it. No, I'm going to – I'm – oh, hi. Okay, so what is the average airspeed of an unladen swallow? And Brad from Pod Culture beat me to it. African or European?
All right. Anything else?
Grip it by the husk.
All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Happy gaming this week. We will see you in 7 days when we do this all again. Thanks again for being part of the family here at Orange Lounge Radio. We appreciate you guys so much. And all these wigs are just for you. Good night, everybody.
And trust me, I got another 20 I hadn't pulled out yet.
Something to tune in for next week. Bye, guys.
No.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into fognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.